70s Wednesday evening. Even cooler, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of showers with a low around 50. Then on Thursday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 60 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 57, both under clear skies. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Steve Largent, President and CEO of CTIA, the Wireless Association.
These days, drivers face all kinds of distractions.
Welcome to Wonder Burger. Can I take your order, please?
I'll have a double cheeseburger, a large...
Come on now, boys, you're going to have to settle down. It's really hard to concentrate with you fighting like that.
Before your wireless phone becomes a distraction, stop. Drive safely. Never take notes or look up phone numbers while you drive. In bad traffic or weather, save your call for later. Dial sensibly and use a hands-free device.
Sorry, it's really bad out. I've got to hang up.
You know, your wireless phone can be your best safety tool to call for help, stop a crime, or help someone in need. However you use it, remember, with wireless, safety is your call.
The wireless industry reminds you to drive safely. For more information, visit www.wirelesssafety.org.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
What are you doing for the rest of your life? If you were caught in layoffs or downsizing this summer, this might be the best time to think about a career change. The best way to make a change is to prepare for it through the educational program or institution best suited to you. The 7 educational opportunity centers in metropolitan St. Louis are conveniently located on both sides of the river. EOCs provide free services and information on post-secondary education. Start to help yourself through the central contact number of 1-800-875-5932. Cut your gas costs in half. Team up to share the ride to work in a carpool or vanpool. Thousands of St. Louis area commuters have discovered how ride sharing with Ride Finders can combat the sting of rising gas prices, and you can too. Ride Finders offers an exclusive computerized ride matching service that matches commuters throughout the region who share similar workday commutes so they can contact one another to share the ride in a carpool or vanpool. The ride matching service is provided by Ride Finders free of charge and is available online at ridefinders.org or toll-free at 800-VIP-RIDE. The higher gas prices get, the more savings you'll see. Add more passengers to your carpool and save even more. Call Ride Finders today at 800-VIP-RIDE and ease the strain that record gas prices are putting on your wallet. That's 800-VIP-RIDE.
Here's our lineup for Tuesday listening on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Former Alderwoman Irene J. Smith will be here Tuesday at 7 to keep you informed about the latest city developments regarding the eminent domain issue. At 8 o'clock, Daniel Borikoff, president of the American Institute of Philanthropy, joins Liz to talk about charitable giving in times of crisis. Then Tuesday at 9, Don McKenzie from the Union of Concerned Scientists will try and break down the government's dumb idea of giving tax breaks to owners of gas-guzzling vehicles when we're supposed to be having a tight fuel supply. It's all coming up Tuesday on The Wake Up Call, where all you have to do to learn is listen.
As summer comes to a close and school begins, the safety of all children within St. Louis County is the focus of the St. Louis County Police Department's back-to-school enforcement program. The enforcement program consists of extra patrols around and near school buildings, extra patrols around school bus stops, strict enforcement of school speed zones, and strict enforcement of school bus stop arm violations. The program would also like to remind people of the Safe Schools Hotline, providing an opportunity for any child, parent, or concerned neighbor to leave a private and confidential message about possible criminal activity or any other concerns that may affect the quality of education our children receive. The hotline is available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Call 339-SAFE. That's 339-7233. You can leave a message on the secure voicemail system, or at any time, the caller can press 0 and talk live to a St. Louis County police dispatcher who will take the information. As always, if an emergency situation exists, the caller is directed to hang up and dial 911.
Fix the faucet. Put up a new shelf. Organize a closet. Hi, I'm Bob Vila. Planning a home renovation? Add this to your to-do list. Check your family's tetanus booster status. Because after 10 years, none of you are protected against tetanus and another potentially fatal disease, diphtheria. Any minor cut or scrape can put you at risk for tetanus infection. So get the TD booster. If it's been 10, do it again. Learn more from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases at nfid.org.
For Paralyzed Veterans of America, Montel Williams.
The events of the last few years and the war on terrorism have made us all think more seriously about the service, the sacrifice, and the care of Americans' veterans. Paralyzed Veterans of America is dedicated to ensuring that veterans with spinal cord injury or disease receive the best quality health care and benefits which they've earned. PVA funds research and education for the care and cure of paralysis, and they're leading the fight for civil rights and opportunities that maximize the independence of paralyzed veterans and all people with disabilities. I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America, and you can also help. For information, you can call toll-free 1-866-USA-4PVA. 1-866-USA-4PVA. Paralyzed Veterans of America, creating a better tomorrow.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg, hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I remember saying that progress is being made. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches,
There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel the progress. How can this end?
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number, 454-6609. That would be the facts, and holy, do we have much to talk about. We have much, much, much to talk about. I don't know. I every day, I think that there is, you know, we're going to talk about this, going to talk about that, but. There's always something. And as a rule, I want to say this, as a rule, I don't like talking about people's families. I think that, you know, when we're talking about politics, that we shouldn't talk about people's families. But, you know, what's that line from the God, was it Godfather 3? Just when I thought I was out of it, you pull me back in. The Bush family makes it compelling, if not mandatory. You can't talk about the fruit without talking about the root. You can't talk about the nut without talking about the whole bush. I mean, you know, this is an amazing, dysfunctional American family. I'm sure many of you have heard over the weekend that the last of the three children of Jeb Bush was arrested for resisting arrest and public drunkenness. This is an he was one of the few Bush children, I guess, that drank while legal. And this is the last of his three. All of Jeb Bush's children have been involved with, arrested for various and sundry crimes. And the father says, and I think that this is fair, the father says, I'm not going to talk about a personal matter on the front of the governor's steps. Well, you didn't have a problem talking like a dog about Terry Schiavo's husband in a time and a place where he was watching his wife die. You didn't have a problem challenging him in front of his mama and his daddy, his aunts and uncles. But you're not going to talk about a pattern of parenting from the highest elected office, state office, in the state of Florida. All of your children have criminal records. Now, that's not a record that most parents can brag on. Let me say that again. All of Jeb Bush's children have criminal records. And their father is a governor. Their uncle is a president. Their grandfather was a president. All of Jeb Bush's children have criminal records. And you know what? I saw a picture of the Bush clan. There were dozens and dozens of them. And at least a dozen or more of them are old enough to enlist in the military. And guess what? Not one single one has enlisted. You didn't have to guess. You knew the answer to that. And you have to ask yourself the question, because if all of your children have criminal records and you have every resource in America at your, you know, in the world at your fingertips, you have the best, the so-called best schools, you have the so-called best bank accounts, you have the so-called best doctors, you have the so-called best mentors. You have access to every single thing in the world. And let me be clear. It's not just all of the children have the criminal records. Everybody in the family, with the exception of Jeb Bush, and we don't know whether this is true or not, but the wife has a criminal, mama has a criminal record, and all of the children have a criminal record. And they all obtained their criminal records. Oh, obviously, the children after the parents were married. And the wife after she was married to Jeb Bush. There is something dysfunctional, troubling going on. So I ask you, because, and I bring this up because, make no mistake about it, Jeb Bush has a covets just as hard as George W. Boy George does. Jeb Bush covets the White House as hard as Boy George covets Hugo Chavez's oil. Jeb Bush wants in the White House. My question is should we evaluate him on his parenting skills? All of your children have criminal records. All of them. Every last one of them have criminal records. I mean, that's quite a feat. That is quite an inexplicable feat. I understand the mother, the single mother, the single father, raising their children at work all day long trying to pay the gas bill. They live in a neighborhood where there are not a whole lot of resources. They have to make the horrible Sophie's choice of working or leaving their 6-year-old kid home with the 7-year-old and the 8-year-old, because that's a Sophie's choice that they have to make. The Bushes can hire Sophie to watch their children. And did. And yet and still, this is how the babies turn out. Should he be the president of the United States? If he can't keep his own children out of jail and trying to put your babies in jail? Should he be the president of the United States? When he says he doesn't want to talk about his inability to parent right, but he wants to jump all up over yours. These are astounding times. And here's the other piece that just galls me, that just makes me wanna cuss. His mama had the gall to look the camera in the face and said, "These people here are they're underprivileged. They're getting it a whole lot better and living in a dome with nothing than they had in New Orleans." She wants to condescend and criticize and put down the underprivileged. Let's look at the overprivileged, how they fare. The gluttonous privilege. And there's a reason why George Bush's polls are taking a nosedive. You may not be able to point to the fact that raising a criminal while condemning other people's, raising criminal children while condemning other people's children is not exactly a Christian value. I don't think that that's something that Jesus would do or support or understand. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get to me. Much, much, much to talk about.
This is a message to all those who've been trying to reach the top of a hill on that land.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. The I-70 reversible lanes are still closed through the end of the month due to maintenance work, so find another way to get around the express lanes there. Northbound 55 between Lindbergh and Germania, no problems there. Eastbound 44 from the Mraz overpass all the way into Lindbergh looks good. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor to Big Bend. Look for traffic flowing freely this hour. Eastbound 70 from 370 to the Earth City Expressway. No problems to report there. Northbound 270 to 44 looks good. Westbound 270 at Lilac and New Florissant. No problems there. Westbound 255 on the ramp to North. Ramp of 55 look for no problems there. Eastbound 70 between Bryan and 79. Look for very heavy traffic in spots already this morning in your 6:30 commute. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got slow volume there. Westbound 64 between the 5570 split and Illinois Route 3, St. Clair Avenue. Look for no problems there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Everything is on the move. Decker at Highway T, there's a report of an accident in Franklin County, Route 79, north of Quiver River Bridge in Lincoln County. There's an injury accident as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate and reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Today, mostly sunny. Patches of early fog. Otherwise, the high will be in the mid-70s this evening. Mostly clear with a low around 60. Wednesday, partly cloudy and a chance for showers. Then a chance for showers in the afternoon with a high around 70. And Thursday, mostly sunny with a high in around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 60 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. Take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Alfred Gurley, your host of the German Hit Parade radio program, heard every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4 here on WGNU. Enjoy the beautiful melodies and timely news from Germany as we make your Sunday afternoon just a little bit brighter. The German Hit Parade is the longest-running German program on radio in St. Louis, and I hope you make it part of your weekend listening. Every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger with a personal invitation for you to join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on WGNU. It is so great to be back in the St. Louis area, and I'm looking forward to talking with you here at Radio Free St. Louis about your personal, work, and family problems and issues. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, that's 1-800-DR-LAURA, and let's take on the day. Join me, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, 2 to 4, Monday through Friday afternoons on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, the Millions More Movement.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. There is an interview in the Washington Post, a Q&A, if you will, of Venezuela's Hugo Chavez. And I want to share some of the things that Hugo Chavez has said about the United States. Question. You have said that the United States is the most evil country in the world, and you have called it a terrorist state. Do you want to have relations with the United States? Of course, indeed, we have relations and we want to improve them. Why did you call the United States a terrorist state? The question was asked of Hugo Chavez. The country is one thing. We have lovely relations with the people. In the Bronx, we have economic relationships. We have a company, Citico, owned by the Venezuelan state oil company. We have 14,000 gas stations in the country. We have sent Major League Baseball players here. We have many ties between Venezuela and the United States, and economic and social. What I said was that this U.S. administration, the current government, is a terrorist administration. Not all U.S. governments. I entertain the best of relations with the Clinton administration, and I consider myself a good friend of former President Carter. So what's wrong with President Bush? Hugo Chavez responds, This administration invaded Iraq. According to Pope John Paul II, it is an illegal war, an immoral war, a terrorist war. The United States has bombarded entire cities, used chemical weapons and napalm, killed women, children, and thousands of soldiers. That's terrorism. In Venezuela, they fostered a coup d'etat manufactured by the CIA. Recently, Reverend Robertson called for my assassination. This is a terrorist attack, according to international law. In Miami, on a daily basis, people on television shows are calling for my assassination. This is terrorism. The present U.S. government is a threat to humanity. I have confidence that the American people will save humanity from this government. They will not allow it to continue to violate human rights and to invade other countries. Reportedly, one of your best friends is Cuba's Fidel Castro. Is that true? This is a question asked of Hugo Chavez. He is one of my best friends. Don't you love a person that says, you know what? You ain't going to try to make me feel ashamed of people that I know. He is one of my best friends. The question is why do you admire him? And here's what Hugo Chavez said. I admire many things about Fidel. I think the world admires Fidel for many reasons. His valor, his courage, the way he has led the revolution for more than 40 years in spite of blockage and a blockade and an embargo. Fidel is going to be 80 very soon, but this guy is filled with vitality. I have never met a world leader who is so well informed about what is going on in the world as well as his own country as Fidel is. He is totally devoted to solving people's problems, health, education, and work. Just to give you an idea, Cuba used to produce a lot of sugar. Now, as a result of the economic crisis and the fall of the Soviet Union, they had to shut down 70 or 80 sugar production centers. But Fidel found a way that this would not lead to unemployment in Cuba. He invented a number of solutions to preserve the jobs of Cubans. For me, he is an exemplary friend filled with a lot of solidarity. Do you know how many Cuban doctors we have in Venezuela today? We have 20,000 Cuban doctors. In Africa, there are thousands of Cuban doctors and more in Central America, Asia, and India. Now we are conducting Operation Miracle, saving the eyesight of thousands of Latin Americans through eye surgery. I call upon all U.S. citizens, especially the poor, who happen to have eye problems that require surgery. Cuba and Venezuela are offering to pay all expenses so that anyone can undergo surgery for eye diseases. Today we signed an agreement to train 200,000 doctors in the next 10 years. This information is denied to U.S. citizens. So let me get this straight. The guy that the Christian clerics want to kill, President Hugo Chavez, is going to bring oil, heating oil, to poor neighborhoods in America, and who is now offering free eye surgery to Americans who need it. We should kill him. Why? He should be killed. Why? 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Why is George W. Bush's approval rating taking a nosedive, headed into the toilet? It's how he spends his money, how he spends our money. More than 80% of the $1.5 billion contracts signed by the federal FEMA were awarded without bidding or with limited competition. Two of the major contractors, Shaw Group, Brown & Root, Halliburton. And they've all been represented by Joe Albrol, Joe Bush's former campaign manager and the former leader of FEMA. And the FEMA promised after Katrina that they would have a list of where the money was going, who the money was going to. Just like they didn't show up in New Orleans, nothing showing up on the expenditure list. 15 contracts exceeded $100 million, including 5 contracts of $500 million or more. And 80% of those were given in no-bid contracts. The contracts also show considerable price disparities. Travel trailers costing $15,000 to $23,000. Housing inspection services that documents suggest could cost $15 to $81 per home. Ferries and ships being used for temporary housing that cost $13 million to $70 million for 6 months. Did you hear what I just said? Tell me where on earth, what on earth, what hotel did you book at $70 million for 6 months? Certainly you didn't use any Travelocity. I know you could have got a better deal than $70 million for 6 months.
70, this, and these are the ranges of contracts that this, that FEMA, that this administration, that George Bush has entered into. Between $13 million for 6 months and $70 million for 6 months. Shoot. Unbelievable. How do you have inspection services with differentials between $15 to $81 a house? Whew. Bechtel was awarded a contract that could be worth $100 million. $100 million. $70 million for 6 months. What's that phrase? We'll leave the light on for you? No, you've left every single light in the city on, and we're paying for it. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Unbelievable. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break. 454-6609 is my fax.
Organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Don't miss a special edition of The Stranglehold this Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WGNU as we broadcast live from backstage at the TNA Impact tapings for Spike Television. We'll have the inside scoop on all the action, plus you never know who will be stopping by the mic. Monty Brown, Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, maybe even NWA champ Jeff Jarrett, and oh yes, Tracy Brooks will be on hand. Brought to you in part by Slackers, buy, sell, or trade, music, videos, or games, Slackers, CDs, and games. The Stranglehold, live this Tuesday at 6 o'clock in Orlando from backstage at TNA.
You don't have to travel to Washington, D.C. to visit the West Wing. Just listen to Herb Steck online at WGNU.net.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps.
Right.
Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I sucked a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Visit stlouisblues.com for special discounts and promotional information. Tickets on sale at the box office, Ticketmaster outlet, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline, Baghdad. Five Shia Muslim school teachers were shot to death near the school where they worked in a town just south of Baghdad. Officials say gunmen dressed as policemen came into the school, dragged the teachers and the school bus driver into an empty classroom, and shot them all to death. The head teacher, who was a Sunni, was left unharmed. The murders took place last week at the end of the school day, but children had already left the school and did not see the episode play out. Violence between Sunnis and Shias is escalating and causing the groups to leave areas that are co-inhabited and return to parts of the country that are dominated by their own group. And Dateline London. British researchers say they have been able to introduce into lab mice a human chromosome that reproduces Down syndrome. The Medical Research Council hopes this is going to be a big step forward in trying to find out more information about the condition of Downs. A person with Downs has three copies of chromosome 21 instead of the normal two, and is part of a class of illnesses that cause people to develop the wrong number of chromosomes, a condition that happens in about 5% of all pregnancies and can result in illness, death, and miscarriage. The researchers say this development could also lead to clues for other complex gene conditions, such as diabetes, and enable creation of artificial chromosomes for gene therapy. This is your wake-up call global news update.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement,
call 361-9191
or toll free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Here's our lineup for Tuesday listening on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Former Alderwoman Irene J. Smith will be here Tuesday at 7 to keep you informed about the latest city developments regarding the eminent domain issue. At 8 o'clock, Daniel Borikoff, president of the American Institute of Philanthropy, joins Liz to talk about charitable giving in times of crisis. Then Tuesday at 9, Don McKenzie from the Union of Concerned Scientists will try and break down the government's dumb idea of giving tax breaks to owners of gas-guzzling vehicles when we're supposed to be having a tight fuel supply. It's all coming up Tuesday on the Wake Up Call, where all you have to do to learn is listen.
Around the world, behind the story.
It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You want to hear something scary? The teams working in St. Bernard Parish, which is now an enormous toxic waste dump. Now, understand, the people that are working in St. Bernard Parish, the people that are working to clean up St. Bernard Parish in Louisiana, are waking up with sore throats and other respiratory ailments. Privately, the EPA testers have told them that all the pollutants and environmental toxins are way off the scale. No one is looking to stay there long. The Associated Press is reporting that the sludge and everything else stirred up by new flooding in New Orleans caused by Rita. Okay. Everything else, it's all back. That people are being told that the, now, this is privately, the EPA is saying this, this current administration is saying that there's no environmental problems in New Orleans. How long have people been down there? What, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? And they're waking up with respiratory problems already, trouble breathing already. And I guess what, just think about what they're not telling us, what they know. I am so sick of George Bush flying, I am so sick of reporters dutifully reporting the itinerary of George W. Bush. We haven't heard this much about where George Bush is on a day-to-day basis since he's been in office. When was the last time? A month ago, a month and a half ago. Did you know where George Bush was from day to day? No. All these news entities out here, these water carriers out here, are making it their business to report the itinerary of George W. Bush every day. You know, the PR machine is back in full force, fronting. Because the fact of the matter is, this is a man that doesn't have this kind of attention span. He does not have this kind of attention span. Why am I being told that George Bush is flying somewhere that has to do with the hurricane today? There are other things going. We're also fighting a war, aren't we? Unbelievable. And please don't act like it matters to you now, because it doesn't. If it mattered to you, your friends wouldn't have gotten $500 million contracts. People of New Orleans would have gotten contracts. If it mattered to you, you would be talking about putting money into, education money into the pockets of the citizens from New Orleans instead of in the pockets of private schools to help them, you know, build your, you wanted a private school, build it. You've told welfare mothers, you've told single women parents, you've told single father parents, you wanted this child, you made the child, you raised the child, you made the school, you raised the school. Why are we fronting for you? Whoo, Carfo.
Ms. Brown, they're bringing illegal immigrants from Texas, Mexicans and all, Hispanics up to clean up the hotels, to clean up a lot of the areas in the districts that they want certain people to come back to instead of having African-Americans, blacks, because... they don't want to encourage us or blacks to come back to the city.
Well, here's another way of looking at that. Somebody that's hiring anybody, is a company that's hiring anybody to do anything, is a company that's received a contract. That company, the company got more than likely got a no-bid contract, and they're hiring the cheapest labor that they can find so that they can keep the highest profits that they want to keep. So it's for that reason, and it's for the reasons that you say as well. I mean, they're getting a lot of hits with that one decision.
Where are the conservative spenders at? Where are they?
Mm-hmm.
Where are they?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you,
Sandy.
The only thing I wanted to say is, if you remember after 9/11, the EPA said the air quality was fine in New York.
You're absolutely right.
I mean, all you have to do is just
Remember.
Remember the first lies, and you're going to get the second lies.
And the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth.
Absolutely.
Thanks for your call, Sandy.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break, folks. When we come back, we're going to be talking about eminent domain. I'm Liz Brown, and we'll be having that conversation with, of course, the nice lady, Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas.
Lights, lights, lights.
Something as simple as electricity is now a big deal in the areas battered by Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. Brian Padeau owns a business in the French Quarter of New Orleans.
Neon, burglar alarms going off, light bulbs. We're back in business, we hope.
President Bush makes his seventh visit to the storm zone today.
The president will head into some of the most damaged areas around the city of Beaumont, Texas, and Louisiana's southwest coast. This second blow to a battered region has added to the disruptions in America's oil supplies.
We're taking action to help deal with the shortfall caused by Katrina and Rita.
President Bush is asking Americans to conserve gas and ordering federal agencies to save. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Press Secretary Scott McClellan says the White House will also be looking for ways to cut back on fuel use, but that doesn't include the president's travel needs, which call for Air Force One, limousines, and gas-guzzling SUVs. The former head of FEMA is in for a grilling today from a special House panel.
Michael Brown will face some tough questioning. Despite scenes of rising floodwaters, stranded victims, and widespread looting in New Orleans, it was 5 days before large numbers of troops were sent to the Gulf Coast. Brown has also been under fire for not having a strong emergency management background. He denies charges that he padded his resume.
ABC's Deirdre Bryant. Doctors and nurses rally on Capitol Hill today. They're backing legislation they say would help an emergency care system in which too many ERs are overcrowded. And the U.S. military confirms the Al-Qaeda second-in-command in Iraq was killed in Baghdad this week. American and Iraqi forces tracked him to a high-rise building where he was shot. This is ABC News.
My friend Jean and I are having lunch and talking about the new Medicare prescription drug coverage.
So anyone with Medicare can get it, no matter what your income?
Yeah, or your health, or how many prescriptions you take.
So what do I have to do?
Well, you have to choose a plan and sign up. But first you have to order before I faint.
Sign up for Medicare prescription drug coverage begins November 15th. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This Walmart opening has made a difference to a lot of people because this was a community that did need jobs.
When you lose your job, you're lost.
Walmart provided 450 jobs.
I think we really changed some lives when we opened the store.
And I'm glad to see that it happened here in Gaston.
Now that we've built this place from the ground up, it's much closer to our hearts.
It gives us a real good sense of the future. Walmart will be there.
This is the store we needed as much as it needed us.
Is it a healthy drink for kids, or does it give youngsters an unhealthy dose of caffeine? We're talking about Kickstart Spark, a powdered drink that's marketed to kids. ABC's Dan Harris takes a look.
Kickstart Spark, in the words of the manufacturer, provides focused and long-lasting energy that's just right for children. But that it's marketed to children as young as 4, contains nearly as much caffeine as a cup of coffee, and one of the main ingredients in Red Bull, has some experts in child health horrified.
Even some parents question whether little kids need extra energy. His career covered 40 years in TV and the movies. But Don Adams is remembered primarily as secret agent Maxwell Smart in the 60s sitcom Get Smart. Adams has died of a lung infection. He was 82. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, an investigation continues into the death of a man who fell from the ARC parking garage early yesterday morning. Authorities say the man was running from a National Park Service ranger after a traffic stop when he jumped off the top deck of the garage and fell 40 feet. The man was rushed to an area hospital where he later died. Missouri Attorney General Jay Nixon is continuing his investigation into gas gouging in the wake of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. Jim Gardner, a spokesperson for Nixon, explains why the investigation is being done.
Obviously, any time that you have a natural disaster, you're going to have some individuals that will try to take advantage of that to make unfair profits and using it as an excuse to do some price gouging.
Gardner says any gas station found guilty of illegally increasing their prices could face fines similar to ones issued following the September 11th attacks. Then offending gas stations were fined either $1,000 or three times the profit made from the increase. It has been more than 4 months since lure distributing drivers went on strike, and there's still no resolution in sight. Dan McKay, the president of Teamsters Local 600, says the main issue keeping the two sides apart is that lure wants the drivers to take less money for delivering the beer. The distributor has been using replacement drivers since the union drivers went on strike in May. Lure is the sole distributor of Anheuser-Busch products in the city of St. Louis. Finally this hour, the Rams have their second straight day off today after Sunday's 31-27 win over the Titans. The Rams will travel to face the Giants this Sunday, and this year's number one draft pick, Alex Barron, will be the starting right tackle. Barron entered the Tennessee game late in the third quarter and performed well, giving him the starting job over Blaine Saipaia. Head coach Mike Martz also said in his press conference yesterday he is very pleased with the play of safety Adam Archuleta and defensive tackle Ryan Pickett. The Rams are 2-1 on the young season and are tied for first place in the NFC West with the Seahawks. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Ashley Furniture Home Stores. The Ashley Furniture Home Store means big savings for you, like no interest and no payments for 1 year. Ashley Furniture Home Store in Kirkwood and South County. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Schick Quattro Power. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270. An accident's been cleared. Traffic's easing by eastbound 44 from Moraz overpass 270. Look for a very heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Heavy volume going on there as well. Northbound 270 from Graboid to 44, you got heavy traffic. Westbound 270 between 367 and West Florissant, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 5570 from ramp to ramp on North Jefferson Barracks, it looks like that traffic has returned back to normal. Eastbound 70 between K and 79, look for slow traffic going on there. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, you've got heavy volume going on. Eastbound 370 from 70 to Discovery Bridge, you've got dense fog. Westbound 40 at the Boone Bridge, construction is going on. The center lane is closed, no wide loads are allowed. And westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the PSB, stop and go. Westbound 64 from Illinois to Poplar Street, down westbound 64 from Ball Avenue to 5570, look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank onto Laclede's Landing, look for very heavy volume this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Schick Quattro, the new Schick Quattro Power. It has four blades and power near the head for a smooth glide and a close, less irritating shave. Turn on the power of four, available at a store near you. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to mostly sunny skies, patchy fog this morning with a high in the upper 70s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 60. Wednesday, partly cloudy, a chance for showers. That's likely in the afternoon. The high should be around the 70s. Wednesday evening, cooler. Mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers with a low around 50. And then on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high only around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 58. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, drop down the sun. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, drop down the sun.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress has been made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop the sun.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. And if you want a toll-free long-distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Email me, revolution@lizbrown.com. And, oh, yeah, you can check me out at whiterosesociety.org, where we are archived daily. And you can always catch us on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up and get to me. We have much to talk about. 4540400 is the phone number. We've been talking this morning about the codified, the legitimized, the understandable stealing that is going on as a result of in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, and soon to be in the aftermath of Hurricane Rita. No bid contracts being handed out while people can't get Medicaid. $500 million contracts being handed out without any oversight when our seniors can't pay for their medicines. And it's illegal for folks to go to Canada and buy cheaper drugs. There's all kinds of gluttony going on. It's as if this administration is Pac-Man. And you don't even have to put your quarters in. It just Pac-Man just keeps eating forever. And I think, however, and it's something I've said on the show often, that you got to, I think we need to get to the bottom before we can start heading back for the top. Folks need to be very clear about what's going on in the world around them. And I think that there are so many things going on that the insatiable gluttony of this administration is not being lost on fewer and fewer and fewer people, but people are starting to get the insatiable gluttony. No-bid contracts help propel them towards that eyesight, that vision. Incompetence like Brownie propel you towards that vision of incompetence and gluttony. But there are also acts within the law that are pushing people towards seeing the world for what it is. That there does not appear to be a true protections for the little guy, or even the not so little guy, even the upper middle class guy. And I'm talking about this whole issue of eminent domain. We have to understand. I don't think we have to understand. I think that people are getting it. That there is an insatiable gluttony there is insatiable gluttony going on out here. Big business interests at the expense of all of us. Corporate interests at the expense of all of us. Ask Tom Bauer how it worked out for him to take the interest of businesses over real flesh and blood human beings out here that want to be part of the process. An elected older person who has been recalled because he didn't talk to folks, because he didn't include people in the discussions, because there were no fair offers made to people, and there was a hard line, I'm going to get mine, and you're going to have to take what I give you attitude. We need to talk about this. We need to talk about this issue of eminent domain and how it pertains to the city of St. Louis and what people need to be preparing themselves for. Because this is not even, it's, you know what they say, coming to your backyard. No, it's already here. To facilitate that conversation this morning, I have with me on the line attorney and former alderwoman, Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
And good morning to your listening audience.
Insatiable gluttony going on out here.
Yes, it is. And it doesn't stop, and it has no limit unless the citizens of this city place limitations on it. As you know, presently I'm working with the individuals who are involved in trying to save the Baptist Building, which is a historical building, part of the African-American legacy in the city of St. Louis. That building has existed, you know, since the 1960s when it was transferred over to a group of Baptist ministers who utilized it as a meeting place and a business place for people to open businesses. I mean, that is one of the few places in this city where Malcolm X spoke. It had died down for a little, and Leora Daniels started to revitalize the building. I mean, actually redoing the auditorium and doing some other work on the storefronts. Then a development plan came about, and it's not clear that she even got any notice of the fact that the city was attempting to take the building.
And when we say the city, who
the city is the St. Louis Land Clearance Redevelopment Authority. Under state statute, that entity has the authority to take property by eminent domain once they're given legislative authority to do so by way of the Board of Aldermen.
So breaking that down further, an older person has to make this request.
Exactly. And that's why this issue of eminent domain is really a local issue. You know, we say all politics is local. Well, guess what? Eminent domain is local. Yes, you have to have state authority, which is the authorizing legislation, that is, giving the city the power to do this. But the city has that power, and it is put into motion by ordinances or bills that are introduced by members of the Board of Aldermen.
You just can't all of a sudden say, I'm going to take this, and older person has to say, I want this taken.
Exactly. They have to support legislation that says, you know, you can take this property by eminent domain.
And what is an older person supposed to do in terms of giving people the opportunity? Because prior to coming to you on the air, I had made mention of the successful recall of Tom Bauer. One of the criticisms by the people who successfully recalled Tom Bauer was that they were not included in the discussion process of this. They were ignored, marginalized, and dismissed. What kind of are there rules out there, Irene, that dictate what an older person is supposed to do if they introduce legislation to take somebody's property by eminent domain?
Well, let me say this. Under state statute, the only thing that the city is required to do is to send notice by registered mail that there is legislation being considered for the redevelopment of a particular area. Now, I think that any older person with the best interest of the community at hand should take the opportunity to make sure that prior to introducing the legislation.
That's my point, because the letter from them.
You meet with individuals who own property in the area, that you even send them letters. You know, I can remember when Bernice was working on something. Bernice Jones King were working on something, and she sent letters out. You know, when we were working on the development in the first ward, that incidentally they're building new houses and there's no eminent domain, there's no tax abatement tied to it. We met with all of the residents in the area, and they had input into the process.
Prior to
the introduction of any legislation, we believe that it is in the best interest of the community, and it is simply fair that you give those individuals who have stayed and struggle through and are trying to make do, that you give them notice that development is anticipating. Because for what you know, I mean, if the alderman doesn't do that, that person may have the wherewithal, or the alderman may be able to assist the present owners of the property to develop the property. And that isn't taking place in the city of St. Louis.
Now, if you are an unscrupulous older person, if you are or an incompetent older person, or a non-thinking older person, or an older person that doesn't care about your what your constituents say, you can really do this stealthily, can't you?
You really can. And I think what happens is, it's as if, though, you know, it's like, well, we've got some development coming, so that development has to be done by someone outside of our community. And that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. Sometimes it does. But I think the individuals that own the property certainly ought to have the opportunity to do so. And what we are seeing is all too often is this notion of, well, we got to put all new stuff here. We got to tear this down. And, oh, thanks for holding on to this property in the interim. Thanks for paying your taxes. Thanks for doing all that. But we no longer need you. We've got a developer who's going to come in and make this all nice and shiny and new.
And the fact of the matter is that no city is a successful city that tears down all of its buildings in order to build other stuff. There has to be a mixture of things, and since we all pay taxes, we should be in on the discussion of what kind of mix is going to be.
Exactly, and it should be on balance. For anyone who's ever had the opportunity to go by, say, for example, the Baptist Building, that is a beautiful building. The artwork on the outside of the building, and even though they've, of course, put in windows that have, of course, managed to get broken, continuously, particularly since the onslaught of this development.
Wait a minute, let's just slow down for a second. Are you saying that there are people out there that are vandalizing this building in an effort to make it look like it needs to be torn down, or in an effort to punish those that are fighting back? Vandalism is going on in the Baptist building.
It appears that.
Well, I mean, the windows are broken.
The windows are broken. I mean, in fact, I was with a minister on Saturday. In fact, it was a Muslim brother, and he said, you know what, somebody is breaking those windows out, because she has replaced those windows several times, she being Leora Daniels, who's spearheading the redevelopment of the Baptist Center. He said she has, on countless occasions, replaced those windows.
And there's other undercurrent stuff, too, going on here, Irene, I want to talk about, too, because there's money to be made in the redevelopment piece of this, isn't there?
Certainly it is. And you know what? And I really like the title of the Citizens Committee. You know, they don't say they're against development. What they say is citizens against eminent domain abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly there are instances where eminent domain should be used to take property.
But it should never be used without the citizens' discussion.
Exactly. It should be sufficient citizen input before any property is taken, particularly property that is owned, taxes are being paid on, people are making attempts to redevelop the property.
It's a gorgeous piece of property.
It's a gorgeous piece of property. Certainly has work done. It's a work in progress. But there should be a discussion.
And I'm thinking of some news stories that I've seen recently on one of the local channels in St. Louis here, of I guess down in the Grand area near SLU, a building that has been vacant for 30 years, 30 maybe 35 years at least. I know at least 20. They're now going to turn into lofts, but it sat there empty, vacant, nothing going on in it.
You talk about Grand Center. I have to mention this because the same thing, you look on Olive,
mm-hmm.
okay, and there's a developer who owns property who also lives there, you know, and they wanted to take his property. And that's Matthew Foggy. They attempted to take his home because they wanted to his property that he owns. And he has the wherewithal to develop it himself. And at the same time, they have had buildings, just as you indicated, that have sat there that are actually, because of their existence, depreciating the value of their property. And I think I was very excited, and I'm looking forward to looking at the lawsuit. Several residents in Sunset Hill filed suit against the city of Sunset Hill yesterday, saying that they are purposely allowing property to go unkept and not enforcing the code violations of property so that the value of their property can be depreciated.
And again, this just shows that there has to be a citizens discussion on this, because the fact of the matter is that simply because a property has sat shuttered for a number of years doesn't mean that that's property that needs to be torn to the ground. Grand, look at the Coronado right across from St. Louis University Law School, where I went to law school. That building sat vacant for 20 years. 20 years it sat vacant, and now they have a movie theater near there. They have restaurants. They've renovated the entire thing. They kept that building in a hold pattern with no intention of tearing something like that down. Why is it that in this community that we should be thinking that, well, it's new, so it's got to be better than this old building that's here?
Exactly. And Liz, you couldn't have given a better example, because that was previously Lewis Hall, as I recall it.
Dead time in Lewis Hall.
It said vacant. But the thing about it, and I'm going to use the Baptist building because that's the one that's most on the burner right now in terms of fighting against in the city of St. Louis. The Baptist building has been occupied within the last 20 years. There have been businesses there. In fact, Jamila Nasheed, she had her bookstore there. For years, she had her bookstore there, and there were businesses at that location as well. But I think you make a very good point of the fact that there should be community input, particularly from the owners who own. And I think that before legislation is introduced to take property, that there should be required legislatively in the city of St. Louis, there should be legislation introduced requiring that there be dialogue with the owners of the property, requiring that there be a community meeting prior to legislation being introduced.
Well, let me pick your brains as a former alder person. Do there have? I mean, is there a requirement that there be public hearings before a liquor license is given out?
Yes.
Is there a requirement that you have discussions about traffic lights and things like that?
Yes.
There is a committee.
I don't want to mislead the people, Liz. There is a committee hearing, but your example about the liquor may be one of the best examples that we could probably follow in terms of redevelopment where eminent domain is being contemplated. And when you have are seeking to get a liquor license, you have to circulate a plat.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get approval from surrounding property owners within a certain radius of the anticipated liquor store. Perhaps we need to explore legislation that requires a certain number of owners to sign a plat for it to be considered. But certainly we ought to have a requirement that there be a hearing.
Minimally.
Mm-hmm. Before legislation is even introduced.
And let's take a break here. I'm talking to Irene J. Smith, alderwoman, attorney, and I see you all on the lines. I know y'all want to jump in on this conversation, and you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. We're taking a break. Our number here is 454-0400. Email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by GM Employee Discounts. Northbound 270 between Gravois and 44, there's an injury accident. Two left lanes are blocked. Traffic jams just north of 55. Westbound 270 at New Florissant. Look for a disabled vehicle reportedly in the left lane. Traffic is backed up most of the way to Bell Fountain. Northbound 55 between 270 and 4500 block of South Broadway. Look for normal traffic this hour. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Merrimack. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road. Look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall all the way into Blanchett Bridge. Look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 70 between K and 79. Look for slow traffic going on. Eastbound 40 between Ballast and Hanley. You've got slow traffic as well. Westbound 40 between Boone Bridge. Look for road construction. Center lane is closed. No wide loads are going through. Traffic is backed up to Chesterfield Airport at this hour. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. Look for slow volume going on there. Eastbound 30 between Watson and 270. Look for stop-and-go traffic going on. Westbound 5570 from 64 on the PSB. You have stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 between Vowell Avenue and 5570. Slow volume going on there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank on Leclede's Landing. Look for heavy traffic. And northbound Route 3 onto the ramp. Look for Poplar Street Bridge. They have slow traffic this hour. In both directions, Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravois. You've got paving operations going on. And in both directions, 255 and Camp Jackson. You have some road construction going on there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the GM Employee Discount. The GM Employee Discount is retiring. You pay what we pay, but only until Friday. At participating dealers, take delivery by Friday, September the 30th. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly sunny today. Patchy early fog this morning. A high will be in the upper 70s. For this afternoon, this evening, look forward to mostly clear skies with a low around 60. For Wednesday, partly cloudy. Chance for showers. The high should be in the mid-70s. Wednesday evening, cooler, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers with a low around 50. And on Friday, mostly sunny skies with a high around 70 degrees. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 60, both under mostly clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Minister Sammy Estelle Jr. Join me on the Singing Time broadcast, the first, third, and fifth Saturdays of the month at 5:30, and the second and fourth Saturdays at 6. For the Singing Time broadcast, featuring good gospel music, the latest church news, and also the Word of God. That's Singing Time with Minister Sammy Estelle Jr. right here on WGNU.
The YWCA is holding a back-to-school drive through September 30th at the Carondelet branch at 4510 South Kings Highway. Drop off new school supplies in the main lobby to help children from low-income families. The donations will be dispersed to children throughout the surrounding communities. For more information, call 314-832-2000 or email carondelet at ywcastlewis.org. News to you from WGNU.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gear, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenihan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
My baby was born too early, and now he's struggling to stay alive. He's such a trooper. I know they're doing everything they can to save him.
More and more babies in America are being born dangerously early. So early their lives hang in the balance. Despite the best medical care, thousands don't get through the first month. Premature birth is growing at an alarming rate in the United States. One in every eight births. For decades, the March of Dimes has saved babies by funding medical breakthroughs and by fighting for all babies to have access to the care they need. Help us stop the crisis of premature birth. For information or to help, go to marchofdimes.com. The baby we save may be your own.
20 years ago, my son wouldn't have survived. Now, he has a fighting chance.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll-free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You better listen.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. We're talking about eminent domain this morning with Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Irene, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
And let me get to a couple of callers or two here. Yes, you have a question or comment about...
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hello, Liz.
Yes.
This is Manette. Yes, this eminent domain is part of a political thing with the Democrats and the Republicans. They seem to say like it's the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. What aren't they both members of the same tag team?
With regard to eminent domain?
Yes.
Okay, we'll address that. Thanks for your
call. Just like you say, good cop, bad cop.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks for your comment.
Oh.
And Irene?
You know what, and certainly in other parts of the city there may be... In other parts of the country, that may be the case, but specifically in the city of St. Louis, it's the Democrats, okay? And one of the things, I have to be very honest with you, Liz, when I first went on the board, I wouldn't vote for any development bills. There were so many of them, and it's not like you really had as much time as possible to read them. Then after you down there, you learn how to, you know, kind of get votes for what you want, so you kind of back off. And basically what happened is a lot of these development bills go on what we call the consent calendar, and if no one in the community brings opposition to, like, raise a flag, so to speak, a red flag, so to speak, you don't really look at, because there's just so many, most of the legislation that is pending before the Board of Aldermen involve development bills, and right now it appears TIFs. So this development bill, say, relative to the Baptist building, it was on what we call the consent calendar, and that's because nobody raised any opposition to it, and that's because the owners, it appears, did not receive notice of the impending redevelopment plan. And so quite often what happens is these development plans are passed through with little discussion at the Board of Aldermen.
How do people... Where's the money being made when a building like the Baptist building is, if they make a decision to tear it down for redevelopment? How is money made in that venture?
Money is made if there's a commercial structure built, okay? There's a developer. The developer makes money off of, you know, after he leases the spaces out. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this particular one on the Baptist building had any tax abatement. So
there's possibility of money being made with tax abatement as well.
There's a possibility if tax abatement is reintroduced later on, but the particular bill that addressed the Baptist building did not have tax abatement in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that does not preclude the developers from seeking other subsidies, okay, from the state, tax credits and things of that nature from the state. So, of course, anytime you develop some property that perhaps you may not pay what the market value of the property is, you acquire the property for less than market value, you build a commercial structure, you lease out spaces, you know, you're going to make money.
And there are other ways that people in the city of St. Louis make money off of these.
You have people that, you know, act like they're, I guess, partners in the development, they're consultants.
Do we have that going on with this building?
Oh, yeah. And it's my understanding that that Tim Persons and Freeman Bosley Jr., the former mayor of the city, are involved in this project. I know for a fact that, based on information that I was provided with, that, you know, every time there's someone going over to look at the building for the present owners, that Tim Person calls down to the building division and say they're working on a building without a permit or things of that nature.
So there's other stuff going on here too as well, because there, you know, folks want to make money off of stuff, and the bottom line is, though, shouldn't the people in the community where the property is located, shouldn't they be the ones weighing in on this first?
Of course they should. They should have the opportunity to have input into the process and to know that the process exists, okay? To know that there is something being contemplated to deal with property that you own and that you have paid taxes on.
Mm-hmm.
There are instances, like I said, there are so many development bills being introduced at the Board of Aldermen. I'm telling you, there are very few of them that even merit discussion on the floor of the Board of Aldermen. Most of the bills go on the consent calendar, mainly because people in the community may not be aware of what is going on, and maybe because maybe the property is blighted and it needs to be taken. But in a lot of instances, the surrounding community has not received adequate notice of what is going on, and therefore they don't even get the opportunity to weigh in.
And that is the criticism leveled at eminent domain. That's why Tom Bauer lost his job.
And the other thing is this, say, for an example, we see St. Louis County when they have board meetings like the cigarette ban. Their meetings are in the evening, okay? So people who are gainfully employed or whatever have an opportunity, if they're working regular day hours, they can go to the meetings. The meetings for the Board of Aldermen, and these board bills appear before the HUDs committee. That committee meets usually at 10 o'clock in the morning, okay? Now, unless you made arrangements to get off from work, and that meeting occurs down in City Hall, but unless you've made arrangements to get off from work, you don't have an opportunity to really weigh in unless there is an effort made by someone in the community, such as citizens to fight eminent domain abuse, where Pam Talley's involved, Reverend Fowler involved, in organizing, where you can actually try to organize people and get people to give information out about what is going on and telling people that it's necessary to be at a meeting, then, you know, people don't know.
And there is a meeting on this particular issue with the Baptist building.
There is a meeting coming up on a Thursday. There is a prayer meeting at 5 o'clock on Thursday, October the 6th, at the Baptist building, which is located right at Martin Luther King and Grand. Additionally, there is going to be a court hearing about the taking of the Baptist building on Friday, October the 7th, at 9 a.m. in the courtroom of Judge Lisa Van Amberg on the 6th floor in the Civil Courts building.
And that's a very important meeting for people to attend.
Yes, it is. We need people who know. I mean, everybody has. I wasn't Baptist, but even I went to the Baptist building when I was younger, okay, for certain entertainment, certain activities. You know, I remember when the record store was there, just on and on and on. We need to let the judge know by your presence that you are concerned about the outcome of the Baptist building. So we're asking
and eminent domain, the issue of eminent domain.
The issue of the Baptist building and eminent domain. So we're asking that you pack the courtroom, because this judge also is handling a number of cases that involve eminent domain. And so you need to be present to hear the evidence that is being presented and to show your presence, to say, I'm concerned about eminent domain and how it is being used in the city of St. Louis.
We need to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. I'm talking to Alderwoman Irene J. Smith, attorney Irene J. Smith. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're talking about the issue of eminent domain, no notice to folks, eminent domain abuse. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us.
And I'm thinking this man wears a white hood in the night when his children sleep. But they'll slip to their windows and they'll see him. And they'll think that white hood's all they need. It's a hard life, it's a hard life, it's a very hard life. Hard life, wherever you go.
Don't miss a special edition of The Stranglehold this Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WGNU as we broadcast live from backstage at the TNA Impact tapings for Spike Television. We'll have the inside scoop on all the action, plus you never know who will be stopping by the mic. Monty Brown, Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, maybe even NWA champ Jeff Jarrett, and oh yes, Tracy Brooks will be on hand. Brought to you in part by Slackers, buy, sell, or trade, music, videos, or games, Slackers, CDs, and games. The Stranglehold, live this Tuesday at 6 o'clock in Orlando from backstage at TNA.
Your computer can bring you the gospel voice of choice every weekend online at WGNU.net.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline, Washington. Peace activist and wake-up call guest Cindy Sheehan was arrested yesterday at the White House after she took a picture of her deceased son Casey that she had around her neck and tied it with a pink ribbon to the wrought iron fence that goes around the White House. She was taking part in a civil disobedience campaign in Washington, D.C. that began on Saturday, designed to call attention to public opposition to the war in Iraq. Sheehan was part of a small group of demonstrators that was denied a meeting with a White House staff member, then sat down in front of the executive mansion. Park police say the arrests were made because the demonstrators did not have a permit. Other anti-war demonstrators went to Capitol Hill to try and lobby members of Congress to withhold funding for military operations. And Dateline Washington, remember some time back when the Bush administration made an appeal to the American public for donations to help rebuild Iraq? Well, guess how much money has been taken in so far? The outrageous amount of $600. That's right, a paltry $600. But in less than a month, private donations for hurricane relief have generated several $100 million. This Rebuild Iraq appeal is the first time the government ever made such a request of taxpayers for foreign aid money. There's no way of knowing who would get the contributions or even where they could wind up because the government says it can't give out that information because of security reasons. The cost of rebuilding Iraq is estimated at about $2 billion. There's concern that some projects may have to be canceled or only partly completed because appropriated money is going to run out. But $600 ought to keep things in high gear, right? This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Remember that song you sang in Sunday school? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has reached out in love to children in 20 countries on four continents, providing the security to help homeless children grow into confident young people, educating and training them to become effective community leaders, helping them to help others through business development. Discover how Hope for the Nations reaches out in love to the children of the world. Get involved yourself. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, a nonprofit organization turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
The commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today.
The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement,
call 361-9191
or toll free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Just a little bit longer.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454 0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. We are talking about the issue of eminent domain. We are talking with Alderwoman Irene J. Smith, Attorney Irene J. Smith. Let's get to some of the callers here. Dolores, good morning.
Top of the morning to you, Dr. Brown.
Rest of the day to you.
And Dr. Smith, in regards to that Baptist building, we were so proud of it when I was a kid. Beautiful building. Can you tell me again the date and the court number that that's what the proceeding's going to be on?
Certainly. The date of the rally is October the 6th, Thursday, October the 6th, which is next Thursday at 5 p.m. at the Baptist building at Grand and Martin Luther King. The date of the court hearing is Friday, the very next day, October the 7th, at 9 o'clock a.m., in Judge Lisa Van Ambrun's courtroom. That's Division 7.
In the Civil Courts building.
In the Civil Courts building, right at Tucker and Market.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dolores. 454-0400 is my phone number. Gene.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning, Attorney Smith.
Good morning.
I'd too like to ask on in respect to the Baptist building that the community join us in the courtroom on the 7th and be with us on the 6th. But I think there are some other things that we need to focus in on. One is that records would show that we appeal, and then not only do we have a coalition here in the city, we have a statewide intimate domain Fight Back Coalition, and we are at this point as an organization understanding the reality. We are totally against eminent domain. We understand the need for economic and community improvement, but the way that this thing has hit our community, we at this point have got to be totally against it, because it's being done with no respect to the stakeholders, and it appears that our politicians are using it to economically benefit themselves at the expense of the community, where that building had been condemned by the city and had been allowed to be spent more than $13,000 on it within the last 3 or 4 months. So it is something wrong, and I thank you.
Okay. I'm not clear about the issue of the condemnation piece that Gene was talking about. What was that referring to, Irene?
Basically, what that was referring to is that the building division, someone tried to do an emergency demolition on that property.
Okay.
Okay. And what happened was they got the notice, so they did what people do. They appealed it to the Board of Building Appeals, and they packed the room, and the board.
And the they that you're referring
they,
to?
They, the owners, okay. the members of the not-for-profit corporation that is trying to revitalize the Baptist Center.
They received notice.
They received notice,
mm-hmm.
and they appealed the condemnation, which then your case would go to what we call the Board of Building Appeals, okay? And when they went there, ruled in their favor, lifted the condemnation, issued permit.
And what was the foundation for the opposition to the condemnation? What did they say? What did the owners say?
Basically, that the property was, you know, it is habitable, and that they could correct the problem that they said made it the building unsafe, and it was something about the wall and some tuck pointing. And they ruled in their favor and allowed the owners to do the repair.
And who was the older person involved in this case?
The older person involved is April Ford Griffin.
And what is her position on this?
I don't know. I think April introduced the legislation. I don't know that she's had a meeting with Ms. Daniels. I'm not sure about that. I'm not in a position to really expound on that. And I think initially, and I'm just trying to be on balance with this, initially what happens is sometimes aldermen just do not think about reaching out to the owners of property. And, you know, April basically said, you know, I didn't know anything was going on in the building, okay? But I think that that aldermen should make a greater effort to find out who the owners of property are, you know, follow the pattern. You know, Denise has set a good pattern of contacting owners, sending out letters, the property owners when she's anticipating doing something, asking people. You know, I had a practice of sending out letters if there was vacant property, asking the owners what they plan to do with the property.
Let me get to another quick caller here. Caller, quickly, please. Caller.
Yes.
You have a quick comment, please.
Yes, I do. I just wanted to say the actual definition of eminent domain is the condemning of property or the taking of private use. It is the actual condemnation of property.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thanks.
But in this particular case, somebody was coming with a wrecking ball.
Right.
To get rid of the property.
And, exactly.
And
we only have
30 seconds left here, Irene. Give us the date of the court hearing again, please.
The court hearing date is Friday, October the 7th at 9 a.m. on the sixth floor, Judge Lisa Van Amberg's courtroom.
And if people want to join up with this whole anti-eminent domain movement, do you have a phone number, Irene?
Yes, I do. They can call the Citizens Coalition to Fight Eminent Domain Abuse at 289-9830 or 385-4262.
Very good. Alderwoman Irene J. Smith, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for calling me Irene J. Smith.
All right. Take care, Deb.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Listen, folks, be back after the news. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial. Yeah.
Mr. Bush will stop in Beaumont, Texas, and Lake Charles, Louisiana. 13 oil refineries are still shut down because of Rita, and 4 more remain offline after Katrina. More from ABC's Sonia Crawford.
As President Bush heads back to the hurricane zone this morning, he's calling on Americans to stop using so much gas. Rita and Katrina have shut down 100% of U.S. crude oil production in the Gulf of Mexico, 78% of natural gas production, and nearly a quarter of the nation's refining capacity is not operational.
There are communities in rural Texas and Louisiana still waiting for hurricane relief. Some people are said to have been without food and fresh water since Saturday when Rita came ashore. A House hearing opens in about an hour for the former head of FEMA. Michael Brown will defend himself against criticism about the slow federal reaction to Hurricane Katrina. The FBI has taken over the old Sigma Nu frat house on the Louisiana State University campus. It'll be home to 50 agents displaced by Hurricane Katrina. Commander-in-Chief, which debuts tonight on ABC TV, offers up the scenario of a woman president.
I, Mackenzie S. Allen,
do solemnly swear.
Some viewers at a preview screening in Washington said it can happen.
It's becoming more and more of a reality today than what it was 10 or 15 years ago.
Muriel Sanders, a grad student at Oklahoma University, isn't running for president of the United States.
I'm a student. I thought, well, why not? So I'm running for homecoming queen.
Sanders is 71. This is ABC News.
Tom Brady and John Madden on the road. Two men, two strong wills, one serious satellite radio.
All right, Tom.
Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors. Boom! Paper covers rock. I win, Tom.
What's at stake? Serious satellite radio.
Yes! Elvis Channel it is.
Elvis?
These two giants of the gridiron may not agree on a choice of channel, but they both agree on Sirius Satellite Radio. With over 120 channels, including 100% commercial free music, the entire NFL, and the best sports coverage.
How about some eeny, meeny, miny, moe?
Right now, get a Sirius Satellite Radio for just $49.95 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Offer valid with 6-month prepaid subscription and available for a limited time at participating retailers. Subscriptions sold separately. Terms, conditions, and activation fee apply. Visit Best Buy, Circuit City, Crutchfield.com, Radio Shack, or Sirius.com for details. It's more than just radio. It's Sirius Satellite Radio.
Cosmetic surgeons are treating more and more young patients, but not for a nip and a tuck.
Feeling nothing, right, Lisa?
Nothing at all.
Zapping the arm of a 20-something bookkeeper, Dr. Ray Geronimus at the Laser and Skin Surgery Center of New York says tattoos that were cool in school can make you look like a jerk at work.
We see a lot of young professionals coming in where they're going into the workplace and the tattoo may not be appropriate for the situation that they're working in.
There you go.
You are done.
Even with advancements in laser technology, Geronimo says the best treatment for an unwanted tat is to skip getting it in the first place. Donna Renee, ABC News.
The New York Daily News tells of a woman waiting in a Manhattan park for an arts festival to begin. She didn't notice the sign that said adults must be accompanied by a child, so a couple of cops strolled by and wrote her out a ticket. The city says that rule was meant to keep pedophiles out of the park. I'm Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Ryan-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests is speaking out against a Vatican-ordered probe. The inquiry began yesterday at the Aquinas Institute at St. Louis University to uncover any evidence of homosexuality. David Clossy, the director of the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, says this is just a way for the church to divert attention from the failure of U.S. bishops with a clergy sexual abuse problem.
Some church leaders mistakenly confuse homosexuality with pedophilia. All the scientific and medical and psychological research indicates that there is no connection. In fact, all the research says that more heterosexuals molest children than homosexuals do.
The inspection team is being headed by a bishop from Philadelphia and will investigate 229 American seminaries. U.S. Senator Barack Obama of Illinois is asking ConocoPhillips to delay a scheduled 45-day shutdown of a Metro East refinery. Obama's request is in response to concerns that a decrease in fuel supply could cause a spike in gas pump prices and in home heating bills. The Wood River refinery is the 10th largest in the country, and the Roxana facility shuts down for scheduled maintenance every fall. The senator has asked that ConocoPhillips respond to his request by Thursday. Efforts to help the family of a fallen state trooper are underway. The Trooper D. Kevin Floyd Memorial Fund has been set up at the Town and Country Bank in Licking. Floyd was killed last week after he was struck by a pickup truck during a traffic stop along Highway 60 in Texas County. He was laid to rest yesterday morning. Donations can be sent to Town and Country Bank, 120 East Highway 32, Licking, Missouri, 65542. Finally this hour, the Blues will continue their preseason schedule tonight at home against the Dallas Stars. Tonight's game marks the first of a home-and-home series between the two teams, with the second contest set for tomorrow evening in Dallas. The Blues are 2-1 in exhibition play after consecutive victories over Chicago and Nashville. The regular season opener is 8 days away in Detroit. Game time for the Blues and Stars is 7 o'clock this evening at Savas Center. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Relicor. Why did your last diet fail? Stress raises cortisol. Relicor helps reduce cortisol. You need Relicor. Available at retailers nationwide or call 1-800-506-7515. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Schick Quattro Power. Northbound 270 between 55 and Tesson Ferry. Stop and go traffic due to an earlier accident. Slow again on the either side of 44. Westbound 270 from Riverview all the way into West Florissant. Look for long delays due to an earlier stall at New Florissant. Westbound 70 between Earth City Expressway and 270. Look for an injury accident. The left lane is backed up. Traffic is backed up as you approach Earth City. Westbound 70 between Adelaide and North Broadway. An accident on the left shoulder. There is a short backup this hour. Northbound 55 is jammed on the ramp. The northbound 270 is a result of an earlier accident as well. Eastbound 40 between Bowles and Merrimack River. Look for a very heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road. You've got slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Hanley. You've got stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 370 from 70 to the Discovery Bridge. You have dense fog going on there. Westbound 40 at the Boone Bridge. Look for road construction. The center lane is closed. There's no wide loads allowed, and traffic is backed up to near Long Road this hour. Westbound 40 at Clayton, Skinker, and Hanley. Look for slow traffic going on there. Westbound 5570 from the Exchange all the way on the Poplar Street Bridge is stop and go. And westbound 64 at the Bowell Avenue and 5570 split. Look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank onto Cleves Landing. Look for a very heavy volume going on. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street to the Poplar Street Bridge is slow. Page at Kings Highway. Crews are responding to what is reported to be a house fire. Let's look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Schick Quattro Power. New Schick Quattro Power, the only razor with four blades and an energizer battery power near the head, glides more easily for irresistibly close shave with less irritation. Turn on the power of four. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, mostly sunny. Patchy fog early this morning, high in the upper 70s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 60. Wednesday, partly cloudy. Chance for showers in the morning and a chance again in the afternoon with a high in the mid-70s. Wednesday evening, cooler, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of showers. The low should be around 50. And then on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 62, both under partly sunny skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Always, we are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net from Xenia to Zimbabwe. You can catch the wake-up call. And we are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. We are also podcast. Yeah, so you can get to us in every kind of way. Email is revolution@lizbrown.com. Ooh, we have much to talk about. It's a shame. It's really a shame. That we are going to have to really be a watchdog, unpaid watchdog, on where the money is going in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Rita. Not only do we have to watch what our good government does and giving away no-bid contracts, hundreds of millions of dollars of no-bid contracts, contracts to cronies. Not only do we have to watch that money and stay on our legislators about that money, but unfortunately we have to watch the money that we give to charitable organizations to make sure that they are doing right with that money. And there was one interesting point in the Katrina and what Hurricane Katrina has revealed to us that was kind of like a merging of both of those issues, cronyism and charity giving. I want to remind you of something that I reported to you back in the early days of the aftermath of Katrina. The man who called for the murder of Hugo Chavez, Pat Robertson, the cleric Pat Robertson, his charitable organization was listed number 3 under the Red Cross on FEMA's website as a place where people should send their donations after seeing Katrina. A man would call for an assassination of a human being and then lie about it when confronted with that. I didn't say that. So we've got to not only watch where our tax-paying money is going, but we also need to watch where our charitable money is going. And Katrina has revealed many things. Racism, classism, incompetence. And it also has revealed what we need to be looking at when we evaluate our charitable organizations. Who do we give? Can we ever be sure of who we give our money to? To talk about this and other issues as it pertains to trust in the non-profit sector, so-called non-profit sector, I have joining us the president of the American Institute of Philanthropy, joining us from Chicago, Daniel Borshoff. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, very good.
Very good. There's a lot. There are some trust issues out there, aren't there, with regard to our charitable organizations?
Oh, yeah. Anybody can set up a charity and start raising money, so it really is up to the donor to really check it out and understand more. And what people typically make a mistake is they're too overly impressed by one or two good deeds. Well, any charity, no matter how bad they are, does something good. So what you have to determine as a donor is how much good are they doing in relationship to all the money they're receiving.
And one of the organizations at the top of the list here is the Red Cross. The Red Cross is the King Kong of charitable organizations when it comes to crises like Katrina and Rita.
Yeah, it's also the sort of branding of the Coca-Cola of charities.
Mm-hmm.
But people realize that they're the main point charity for emergency relief in a disaster, that's what they're concerned with, is the short-term emergency situation. And what happens so many times after a disaster, particularly the smaller scale one, is Red Cross goes in, does their job, and then they're gone, and all these hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions have been raised, and then the people are left penniless. And I mean, and so people need to think about, get beyond the Red Cross, and also think about what groups can help in the intermediate and longer term needs, as well as other charities. See, Red Cross has gotten over 70% of the money in this crisis.
And we're talking about, let's be clear about the money we're talking about. We're talking about $750 million, one organization that is simply an emergency organization and an organization that we've had people come on our show, where the president of the Black Mayors Association, Vanessa Williams, come on and say that the dozens and dozens of small towns that have yet to see Red Cross or FEMA, because Red Cross has said, we're only here for the big cities. We're not here for the small cities.
They're having trouble because it's so widespread, the area that was hit, and they haven't been able to reach some areas. And also, sometimes they work a lot with volunteers, and sometimes the volunteers are not willing to go into the rural areas or the minority areas. That can also be a problem. That's why it is a good idea, say, to support other types of groups that can get into those areas that the Red Cross is not getting into. That's why, again, the diversity in the nonprofit field is one thing that really makes it important. And so people might want to support, say, their religion, because some of these church groups can get in there because they already understand the culture and they know some of the people. Not necessarily your own religion. There's other groups that may just have better access to people than other churches.
And your organization, there is an issue of trust out here. There's an issue of whether or not people do trust these nonprofit entities. Your organization has actually put out an article about the road regaining trust in the nonprofit sector and what can be done. Talk to us about how you've seen the public distrust manifest itself.
Well, there's been too many cases out there, too many scandals and scams, where groups will do almost nothing charitable, and they can manipulate the financial reporting to make themselves look a lot better. And what we do at the American Institute of Philanthropy, we actually do an analysis to give you a clear sense as to how the money's being spent. I mean, just to give you an example, say you get a call from a group that say they're a police type group. Claim to be a police type group. They may not actually be, or they may be like a benevolent or fraternal group. Well, they may tell you when they interrupt your dinner with a phone call asking for money, saying, and they'll say something like, buckle your seatbelt or don't drink and drive. And the reason why they're saying is that because the accountants didn't allow them to call a telemarketing call a program expense rather than a fundraising expense, which is really what it is.
Mm.
So you should find out before you give to some of these charities that do a lot of telemarketing is, how much money is going to programs that aren't part of your telemarketing? Because that can be a very different number. And a lot of what's on the internet and widely put out there is just copied however the charity wants to self-report their numbers.
Mm.
And there's a lot of variability, and Congress is involved in reforming the sector right now. So there is a time to change, but it's donor beware. It's really careful that you know more about these groups. And that's why the American Institute of Philanthropy issues these A-plus through F ratings to help people have a better idea as to how the money's actually going. But there's a lot of 90-10 contracts out there, which means the fundraiser gets to keep 90% of the money. So if it's a professional fundraiser, the one asking you for money, be really careful with that, because
what's an example of an F organization?
Well, one group that's very famous and very, very popular is Feed the Children. See them on TV all the time. They love putting on loads of infomercials and mailings. Only 18% of your cash donations go to program services.
18%.
And most of it, over 60%.
Now, that's Sally Struthers, right?
No. That's Larry Jones.
Okay.
That's and then over 60% of the money goes for mailings and infomercials that you see at night on TV. And and they've had scandals in the past. They had a couple of years of forged audits and so forth. Yet they're really popular, really, really large group. another thing, you know, a lot of groups get donated goods, which so big companies can get tax benefits. We've seen outrageous cases where the donated goods are really of questionable value. So follow the cash. That's one thing that we do, because any group can get all kinds of donated goods from companies that want to get tax benefits. You know, medicine that's about to expire, old computers. So, and lots of times they don't identify what those goods are. So what you want to do is see what, you know, find out what they're giving with the cash, that, what they're doing with the cash that they're collecting.
Well, and what's an example of an A-plus organization?
I mean, there's a number of them. In fact, we've got at CharityWatch.org, we've got an alert for Katrina so people can identify certain groups that are doing that. There's groups that receive an A-plus, International Rescue Committee, International Medical Corps, Mizan, the Hunger Group,
and is there
Scholarship America.
Is there a calculation that goes into the amount of money that goes for what they say that they are doing and the amount of money that goes for internal stuff? Is there a ratio that you all use?
Right. Yeah, most of the groups that we're identifying the top picks for this crisis, we're able to get 70, 80, 90% of the program services and aren't spending any more than $25 to raise $100.
Okay.
I also might mention that you mentioned Operation. Sounds like you're a big fan of Pat Robertson. Turns out his group, the largest, most of his cash grants actually went to his broadcasting, Christian Broadcasting Network. So, you know, you think you're helping a charity, and then you're helping, you know, you're paying for his broadcasting.
To get his stuff on the air.
Yeah.
And if they're not, or if they're shipping diamond equipment out of Africa, they do that too. So it doesn't sound like they do a lot of the things that they are supposed to do. Were there any entities that you would like to give people a heads up with as it pertains to Katrina or Hurricane Rita?
Well, Feed the Children is certainly one that gets a lot of publicity and that really is not getting your donation to programs, services. We've got some articles on that at CharityWatch.org if people want to learn more about it. I'm concerned about people, brand new groups that just start up overnight. It may just be opportunists. People really need a track record of being able to help. You don't want to squander your contribution. Be careful with the Internet. Don't respond to spam emails or don't hit a link on an email. There's been some, there's a few thousand Katrina-related websites out there. So you got to be careful. I mean, we've had our members or donors, and some of them have gotten tricked, and it's really unfortunate, you know. Sometimes they call themselves the Red Shield instead of the Red Cross, redcross.com or something like that, this is .org. So you gotta be really careful. Another thing, too, is a lot of individual victims are asking for money, and that's fine. If they're family, friends, you know them, you know their situation. But if you don't, they may actually not be victims, or they may be people that are able to take advantage, get a lot of publicity drawn to them, and then they're going to get a lot more money than everybody else. And, you know, this has happened in other crises where somebody's driving around with a new SUV and a big home, and then his neighbor's penniless, and that's certainly not fair. The charities have more of the ability to scrutinize the needs of the individual victims.
Well, okay, two types of people. People that have access to the Internet and people that don't have access to the Internet. For a person who doesn't have access to the Internet, what could they do to find out about the charity that they're thinking about giving to?
Well, we publish in print. They can certainly call or write to us.
Is there a phone number?
773-529-2300.
Okay.
And we publish a charity rating guide and watchdog report. They can request that. We ask for $3 to cover, you know, just handling and postage.
Now, are there some common sense things that you would direct to people that don't have access to the Internet or that do? What are some common sense things?
Well, find out. Call up your state office of charities registration or attorney general's office or secretary of state and find out where the charity's registered. Because if they're not even registered, they're fundraising, you know, illegally in about 40 states that have registration requirements. So that's really a bad sign if they're not even supposed to be raising money. Also, too, I mean, you know, you don't have to go it alone. I mean, if there's somebody that you know, maybe one of your religious leaders or community leaders might have some good insight as to what groups are doing a good job. Also, don't forget about your local your local needs. There's a lot of people out there that unfortunately are suffering because so much attention is focused on these hurricanes. Mm. And people, they're just every bit as worthy of receiving aid, and they just don't have to be part of a big disaster. So you don't want to forget supporting your groups that you would ordinarily be supporting. I could be a hero if you do, because there, some of these groups are just having such a hard time of it right now, getting money.
And
hurricanes.
The poor aren't just located in, the indigent are not just located in New Orleans.
Oh, exactly. And what about, you know, the suffering in Niger and Mali and other places? We, you know, soon, you know, that's soon forgotten. And Americans, you know, while we're a generous people, but a lot of the generosity is with ourselves. We only 2% of our charity actually goes to international causes.
Mm. And in terms of people that have access to the internet, what's some advice that you would give them to find out about the entities that they are thinking about giving their money to?
Well, at CharityWatch.org, we have a notice. There's also FEMA.gov. There's a site called GuideStar.org where you can look at their tax form. Of course, you can get tripped up with that too, with some of the self-reporting and sometimes, you know. And then, of course, you know, the news organizations have sites as well.
And one final question, Daniel. How does the Red Cross fare on your survey?
As far as financial efficiency, they receive an A-minus grade, which is good. And they actually have turned a new leaf since 9/11. Prior to that, they had a 10-year history of raising more than they needed for a disaster and trying to use it for another disaster.
Mm.
And they promised not to do that, and they actually proved that during the Colorado wildfires and the tsunami, where they announced they had raised enough, and so they let people give money towards other things so they don't take, you know, unfair advantage. Now they're trying to raise over $2 billion. They've raised $900 million for Katrina, so they still have a ways to go for what they want to do. And I don't think they're going to overdo it in this crisis, because unlike 9/11, where you had a victim's compensation fund, where on average each victim got $1.8 million, the surviving family, in this case, there's nothing like that for these people. And when you start dividing it by the number, by 500,000 people, or all the people that could potentially, you know, request aid, they're claiming to want to help 750,000 people. The money gets really small per family really quickly.
Mm. And your website address again?
CharityWatch.org.
Daniel Borishoff, the president of the American Institute of Philanthropy, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Sure, my pleasure.
Take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown will be back to take your calls and comments at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. We have much, much, much to discuss.
St. Louis, 32 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and McLeod Station, there's an accident on the left shoulder, and traffic is backed up approaching Hampton. Eastbound 70 between Earth City Expressway and 270, look for an injury accident in the left lane is blocked. Traffic is jammed back at the Blanchette Bridge. Westbound 70 from Adelaide to North Broadway, look for an accident that has been cleared, and traffic is starting to finally thin out. Northbound 55 between 270 and Virginia, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge to 270, look for slow traffic in the right lane on those approaches to 270. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, look for that traffic to be easing. Eastbound 70 between Blanchette and Highway 79, look for normal traffic for your 8:30 commute. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55, nothing to report there. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Big Bend, stop and go traffic. Westbound 40 at the Boone Bridge, there's construction. Center lane is blocked and there are no wide loads allowed. Traffic is backed up at Long Road. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 between Riverview and West Florissant, stop and go traffic. westbound 5570 split. Look for from the 4th Street all the way onto the PSB at Stop and Go. Westbound 64 at 5570 split. Look for normal traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede Station. Look for Laclede's Landing. Look for no problems to report there as well. Page at Kings Highway. Cruiser on the scene of a house fire. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground or even the heavy stuff, you can rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly sunny today. Patchy fog this morning. High in the upper 70s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 60. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a chance for showers in the morning and a chance again in the afternoon. The high should be around 70. And then on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are floating right at about 62 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is 61. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Don't miss a special edition of The Stranglehold this Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WGNU as we broadcast live from backstage at the TNA Impact tapings for Spike Television. We'll have the inside scoop on all the action, plus you never know who will be stopping by the mic. Monty Brown, Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, maybe even NWA champ Jeff Jarrett, and oh yes, Tracy Brooks will be on hand. Brought to you in part by Slackers, buy, sell, or trade, music, videos, or games, Slackers, CDs, and games. The Stranglehold live this Tuesday at 6 o'clock in Orlando from backstage at TNA.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof. And that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
As the new school year begins, AAA reminds motorists to remember the ABCs of auto safety in its Schools Open, Drive Carefully campaign. A great burden is on the motorist to take extra precautions when driving in areas with school-aged children. AAA offers these safety reminders for motorists. Watch for reduced speed limit signs in school zones that become effective when classes are in session. Remember the law about stopping before passing or overtaking a school bus stopped to pick up or discharge children. Watch out for youngsters riding bicycles who may appear suddenly from a blind spot. Help your child map out his or her safest way to school, and remember that traffic hazards near schools multiply when children are dropped off and picked up in family cars. Remember that school traffic controls are operating now that school has restarted, and anticipate the actions of youngsters and be ready for anything by reducing speed in areas where children are present. These reminders are brought to you by AAA.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement,
call 361-9191
or toll free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. Everybody gotta rise up. Come follow me, rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. It's your mass, I've got to rise up. You got to rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. Everybody gotta rise up. Yeah, you gotta rise up, oh. Rise up, oh.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Pat, good morning.
Yes, Liz.
Yes.
I got a couple of quotes for you. One of them, Chris Rock. He says, it's the strangest thing you ever want to see. 20,000 black people floating around in water. Okay, it's the next quote. We got Crazy Jay-Z.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. And my name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. I want to share with you some of the criticisms that are being leveled at the Red Cross and the Katrina response. There was an administrator in Hancock County, Mississippi, Tim Keller. He said, Red Cross has been my biggest disappointment. I held it in such high esteem until we were in time of need. It was non-existent. Even some of the volunteers were disgusted. I will never, ever wear the Red Cross vest again, said Betty Bruner, who started volunteering in 1969 when Hurricane Camille destroyed her house. But she quit last week over the Red Cross response to Hancock County. 2 days after Katrina struck, the Red Cross, now understand, 2 days after Katrina struck, Red Cross had only one shelter in the county, and it was far from some of the most populated coastal towns. It had no shelter in New Orleans. And understand that, now juxtapose that, understand, put that next to how much money people have given the Red Cross. Americans have donated $1 billion to the Red Cross. I mean, $1 billion total. Three quarters of that has gone to the Red Cross. And Red Cross's response, the issues that people are raising about Red Cross, they're asking whether or not they can use all of its money effectively as its role winds down. Once you're out of the relief phase, what capacity does Red Cross have to rebuild communities? That's not what they do. They don't rebuild communities. And the other piece of this is that at some point, an emergency ends. Some point, it's we're not in an emergency situation. We're in an ongoing crisis situation. And a Red Cross is not designed for ongoing crises. The Red Cross says it needs every penny and has just raised its estimates for the cost of Katrina to $2 billion from $1.5 billion. And remember, we had people on this show 2 weeks ago, on Monday morning, not last week, but the week before, who talked about going down to the Red Cross here in the city of St. Louis. They talked about the Red Cross attempting to turn them away at the door. They talked about that there was, generally the Red Cross has a little bit of food stuff out there for people when they come through the doors. Now, this family came in at the end of the day because they had 100 other places that they needed to be to get their kids in school, to get their health issues needed. These people hadn't eaten all day because they had no money. So they get to the Red Cross at the end of the day. The Red Cross attempts to turn them away. And they ask for where the little food that the Red Cross gives away when people come in and give blood. They were pointed to a room where there were sandwiches and sodas, croissant sandwiches, all kinds of stuff. And when they got in there, the Red Cross came and said to them, somebody within the Red Cross came in and said, oh, no, this is for this food is for our volunteer workers. We'll give you some juice and a muffin. Has the Red Cross raised more money than it's needed for relief? The Red Cross was asked just that question in Jackson, Mississippi. They were asked whether or not the Red Cross would share its wealth. especially in the rural areas and small towns, the Red Cross was either absent or overwhelmed. You had churches and nonprofit groups taking care of the evacuees in any way they could with whatever money they could scrape together. And when asked, and when Mr. Pennock asked the Red Cross, their representative, at the meeting of whether it would reimburse these organizations, the Red Cross said they didn't know. .454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And also understand that this is a policy of the Red Cross, and they decided that in the 1990s. It's unsafe to maintain shelters in floodplains. So they don't do shelters in floodplains. Ooh, jeez. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes, Charles.
Yes, I can remember one time I was a victim of a house fire, and the Red Cross showed up. Basically 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm watching my house burn down. The lady wanted to hand me a toothbrush. That was the Red Cross, and passed out juice. But I can see they weren't concerned about where I was going to sleep the rest of that night. What you can do is just look at what company they keep. Wasn't Elizabeth Dole head of the Red Cross at one point?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
There you go.
Thank you, Liz.
All right, now, we're going to take a break, folks. It's 9:45. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
Tula mama tula, tula mama tula, tula tula tula, tula mama tula, tula mama tula, tula mama tula.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Emergency, this is Catherine.
I watched my car and my little one is in there.
Oh, okay. What is your PIN code?
408.
OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors in most cases.
I am sending the signal through for you, and if you want, I'll stay online.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you very much.
How old is your baby?
17 months.
Oh, dear.
So I put him in and then I closed the door and I went, push the button.
And he's not going to push the unlock button, is he?
Well, no, I tried to get him to. I'm like, hey, push the button. It wasn't that easy.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
There we go. Hi, buddy. You are a wonderful girl.
Well, thank you. Please know we are here when you need us.
Oh, you sure are. Thank you so much.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. OnStar by GM. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Lagos. 11 Nigerian policemen have been suspended because of charges they committed sex crimes while serving as part of a peacekeeping mission in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The chief of the department says the investigation has revealed evidence against the 11, including the commander of that unit. The Nigerian contingent was part of the UN peacekeeping force in the Congo that has nearly 20,000 troops trying to maintain a fragile peace arrangement that follows a 5-year civil war. The UN effort in the Congo has been accused over and over of sexually abusing Congolese women during their mission there. And Dateline Fort Hood, Texas. Lindy England, the grinning private who was in numerous pictures of detainee abuse at the Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, has been convicted by a military jury on 6 of 7 charges. Her trial was the last of a group of 9 reservists charged with mistreating prisoners at Abu Ghraib. Prosecutors presented pictures of England holding a naked prisoner on a leash and pointing at prisoners who were posed in humiliating positions. She was convicted of 1 count of conspiracy, 1 count of committing an indecent act, and 4 counts of mistreatment of prisoners. She has admitted that the mistreatment was done to amuse the guards at the facility. Her defense lawyer had argued that she was a follower and was easily led into doing things when pressured. She was also said to have been suffering from depression. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger with a personal invitation for you to join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on WGNU. It is so great to be back in the St. Louis area, and I'm looking forward to talking with you here at Radio Free St. Louis about your personal, work, and family problems and issues. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, that's 1-800-DR-LAURA, and let's take on the day. Join me, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, 2 to 4, Monday through Friday afternoons on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement,
call 361-9191
or toll free 866-361-9191
or online at mmmstlouis.org.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, the Millions More Movement.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
It was more than a tragedy. Emotions be grabbing me. Plane fell from the sky. We trying to figure what happened. Burning churches, fearing God. Who can be so cruel? We all ignorant to AIDS till it happens to you. Just be a man. Make plans. Live in truth. Your voice. A woman's trying to make decisions. We should leave them a choice. Cause who are we to say who lives or dies? Breathe or stops. All this judgments on other lives. Needs to stop. What are we living for? Giving more back than taking. On my knees still waiting for my own salvation. Now I feel abandoned. Cause rap you can and say I'm greedy. You can take my tax and send me to war, but can't feed me. It's so easy to regret things after they done. Babies catching murder cases, scared to laugh in the sun. The tragedy is that we all need love and doses. In times like these, we feel closest. The good die young.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400, 314-454-0400, or 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes, good morning, Charles Quincy Troop.
How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I was kind of torn by the debate, the discussion between you and Irene this morning on the power of eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally agree with virtually everything that the two of you said and most of your guests. In terms of generalizing, Reverend Fowler came on and he was talking about black politicians or politicians in general. And all politicians are not pro-eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most thinking, informed black politicians would be diametrically opposed to taking black people's land and giving it to white developers. I just can't imagine that. In my ward, all of the potential developments, the reason I slowed it down, is to involve the people in everything that's going on over there. And not only the people that are directly affected by redevelopment, also the neighbors who live around those developments and going to have to put up with whatever the negative spinoffs for us. So that's what we're trying to do over here in our ward. The other thing we're trying to do is to get some control of the oversaturation of liquor stores in our community, some of them having petitions that go back 25 years and don't reflect the current residents in the area. We have such a liquor store on Clara, on Norwood and St. Louis Avenue, where the neighbors are trying to get control because they got five liquor stores within a two-block walking distance from that liquor store. And we were down at the excise commissioner with the citizens and petitions from numerous 50, 60 residents immediately around, and then we had another petition that was broader with hundreds of residents. And Reverend Fowler showed up down there with the liquor store owners supporting their liberalization of liquor being distributed in our community, and alcohol is the number one killer of black males. So he give preachers a bad name when he just come out and broad brush indict politicians about what we're doing, and he as a man of God should be trying to create a more wholesome atmosphere for people, and he's down there with the Arabs who sell rotten food and everything else in our community we're trying to get control of, and he's on their side.
Okay.
So I got a real problem with that.
All right.
Thank you, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
You were talking about the Red Cross.
Yes, ma'am.
I had experience with the Red Cross. You remember when the flood was, what was it, out of St. Charles?
Yeah, how many years ago was that? Has it been 10 years?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, however, at that time,
mm-hmm.
my husband was sick, and I wasn't working. We were living on our savings on a shoestring.
Mm.
And, you know, when you hear disasters like that, your heart go out, so you want to help. So I sent a check for $10. Couldn't afford it, but I thought they needed it, you know. So I sent the check for $10. When I got it back, on the back of the check, somebody had written, small amount, hope it will help. That was shocking. So I called the office.
And you sent this to the Red Cross?
Yes, to the Red Cross. And on the back, they had written, small amount, hope it will help. Now, that was a sacrifice for me. So I called the office and asked for a supervisor. Oh, you know, I've forgotten the name. But anyway.
Yeah, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, the supervisor. I'm just talking about the Red Cross, like they were talking about experience with them. So I told the supervisor about what had happened. Oh, nobody. I said, well, I sent the check to you. So somebody in your office wrote on the back of this check. And, I will see about it. I'm going to ask them. I said, do you know they're not going, nobody's going to admit that they wrote this on this check. So they never called me back. So I called them back and said, I will not send you another donation until I need you. So I thought that was pretty bad, since it was a great sacrifice at that time for me to send. Well, it was a small amount, but that was all I could afford at that time.
If everybody in America sent them a $10 check, they wouldn't be complaining, would they?
No.
You know, so there is no such thing as a small amount when it comes to giving some money free to somebody.
Yeah, but you know what, Liz? I'm a dog lover. So I gave a donation in my church. But I sent my money to the Humane Society for the Dogs. They need help. They need food.
There are plenty of organizations out here. And I think that the Red Cross is going to do just fine. You know, they make money off of blood. People, you give your blood. They sell the blood to hospitals.
Yeah,
they make
sell
money.
The blood and you donate
yes,
it.
Yes, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great, imagine if Famous and Barr, all their winter coats were given to them by people. People just came in and gave them new winter coats,
mm-hmm.
and then they sold and got all the profit off of that. Think of what kind of money they can make off
that's
of that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, okay, I just wanted to know the experience I had with them.
Thank you, Jenny.
Okay,
454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. It's you know, we all have responsibilities to make certain that we're supposed to be responsible. I mean, we want to give with your heart. You see these babies. I saw a story that broke my heart, even though it was a story with a good ending, but the story of the 6-year-old little boy with a 5-month-old in his hand right at the third day into Katrina, in the middle of the street with 4 other toddlers, all 1 to 2 years old, following him around. How did he get there? He had everybody's first name, and he had his first name and his last name, and his daddy was tall and his mama was short, and he knew the name of his grade school. And how did he get there? His parents had a Sophie's Choice. His parents were rescued. No, a helicopter came to their home. The helicopter said, we got to take the babies first. We'll come back for the adults. The parents made the horrible decision of, oh, I'm going to give my baby up. They gave their babies up. The helicopter never came back for them. You imagine. So when you hear stories like that, you just want to open up your checkbook, open up your pocketbook and give. Well, the feeling is an honorable feeling, but you have got to do some homework and to where you're going to give. Don't have this microwave instant, I just want to give, I'm just going to do the easiest thing, let me give to the Red Cross. There are plenty of organizations out there. There's an organization with the Black Mayors Association out of Atlanta that's giving 100% of every dime that is given to the small towns, the towns that were 4,000 population now are 12,000 population because people have moved, evacuees are living there now. There are plenty of places to give you money and live up to your responsibility. I know you feel the emotional pull. Move on the emotion, but don't move without investigation. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
Some very bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. A House hearing opens this hour on the federal response to Hurricane Katrina. ABC's Vic Ratner has a preview.
The former FEMA director is telling Congress that there were a couple of things he should have done differently with Hurricane Katrina, asking more help from the Pentagon faster and ordering an immediate evacuation of New Orleans before the storm. Michael Brown tells Congress those might have made a major difference.
ABC's Vic Ratner on Capitol Hill. President Bush is going back to the hurricane zone this morning, visiting Beaumont, Texas, and Lake Charles, Louisiana, with a chopper tour in between, and the White House is making no apologies about all the fuel that's being consumed, even though the president asked yesterday that Americans conserve fuel. It's the seventh time the president has gone to the area since Katrina hit more than a month ago. ABC's Jim Sciutto is in Lake Charles, Louisiana, where he says frustration is growing.
The cleanup is finally beginning here. National Guard troops on their way to help repair washed-out roads. But to many Louisiana residents, help is coming too slowly.
We're tired of hearing about Houston and Galveston. We're tired of hearing about New Orleans. Show us something about our place.
In the East Texas city of Jasper, Police Chief Todd Hunter says some people haven't had any food or fresh water since Saturday.
This is not an exaggeration. Pandemonium could occur in this city if we don't get what we need to get.
Mississippi legislators meet in special session today to discuss the state's gambling future. Most of the 13 offshore casino barges were badly damaged by Katrina. There's a pall over the Utah State University campus this morning after 7 students and an instructor were killed when their van blew a tire on the way back from a field trip. Reporter Larry Warren.
Most everyone was ejected from the van as it rolled. Most were dead at the scene.
3 other students were hospitalized. This is ABC News.
With that kind of speed, that kind of strength, it's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels are faster and stronger on tough pain than Tylenol Rapid Release Gels. And Advil Liquid Gels, the only leading brand with real liquid inside. Rush relief right to where you need it. It's no contest. Advil Liquid Gels. Liquid fast, Advil strong.
Tylenol is a registered trademark of the Tylenol Company. Use as directed.
If you're sick and tired of watching your eyes get weaker and weaker every year, repeat after me. I will take a stand against my weak eyesight.
I won't use my glasses as a crutch.
And I will no longer accept stronger prescriptions year after year.
Call right now for a free video to find out how you can strengthen your eyesight using the safe, natural solution. It's called the See Clearly Method. Call 1-800-400-9144. That's 1-800-400-9144. 1-800-400-9144.
A French court is taking up a manslaughter case against the former chief of the Concorde program, ABC's Linda Albin reports from the Foreign Desk.
The crash of the Concorde in July 2000 killed 113 people and effectively brought about an end to supersonic commercial flight. Now the former head of the Concorde program is facing manslaughter charges. French investigators concluded that the crash was the result of a titanium strip falling away from a Continental DC-10 onto the runway at Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport. The so-called wear strip caused a Concorde tire to burst, resulting in debris rupturing the supersonic jet's fuel tanks. The inquiry determined that Concorde's fuel tanks lack sufficient shock protection, a risk known about since 1979. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
Donald Trump and his wife Melania are expecting a new development next spring, their first child. 59-year-old Trump, real estate mogul and star of his own reality TV show, is already the father of four. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a federal judge is overturning a first-degree murder conviction in the 1993 death of a woman near Lynn, Missouri. U.S. Magistrate David Nosey yesterday overturned the first-degree murder conviction of 49-year-old Dale Helmig, who was found guilty of murdering his mother, Norma Helmig. The judge says the jury considered information that wasn't introduced into evidence during the trial and is calling for a new trial. Norma Helmig's body was found in the Osage River tied to a concrete block. A group of Sunset Hills residents are upset that the city is ignoring its own laws. Paul Ferber is a lawyer representing residents living in the Sunset Manor neighborhood, and he has filed a lawsuit against the city of Sunset Hills for what he says is the abandonment of housing and sign codes that's leading to the deterioration of the neighborhood. Ferber says he wants the laws enforced to help ensure a safe and sanitary environment, regardless of what happens to the neighborhood in the future.
I don't care what happens to the TIF. If it goes, it goes. If it doesn't go, it doesn't go. Because the people who are going to have to be taken to eminent domain have a right to have a stable neighborhood.
The Sunset Manor neighborhood is the subject of the city's controversial decision to use eminent domain for the development of a shopping mall in the area. Residents are complaining about abandoned cars and trailers, overgrown vegetation, debris in yards, unsafe conditions caused by fallen tree limbs, sewage backup, and conditions that create mosquito breeding grounds. St. Louis will be the host for the NCAA Men's Soccer College Cup in December 2006. The event will take place on December 1st and 3rd of next year at Robert R. Herman Stadium on the campus of St. Louis University. The stadium's capacity will be raised from 6,050 to more than 7,100 to accommodate the many fans coming to the event. With yesterday's announcement, St. Louis will host at least 10 NCAA Division I championships in five different sports this decade. This is the eighth time the city is hosting the men's soccer championship, with the last taking place in 1975. Finally this hour, Jodie Foster's flight plan is taking off with moviegoers. The new airplane thriller starring Foster as a bereaved woman seeking her child aboard a transatlantic flight soared to number one at the movie box office in its first weekend out in theaters. Flight plan grossed an estimated $24.7 million in ticket sales to top competitors. Coming in second was Tim Burton's quirky animated tale Corpse Bride, which opened with $20.1 million in sales. Last weekend's box office champion, the Reese Witherspoon starring Just Like Heaven, slipped to third place this weekend with $9.8 million. Rounding out the top five was the 1970s set roller skating comedy Roll Bounce, starring teen rapper Bow Wow, at number four with $8 million. And The Exorcism of Emily Rose took the number five spot with $7.5 million in box office receipts.
This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Schick Quattro Power. New Schick Quattro Power. It has four blades and power near the head for a smooth glide and a close, less irritating shave. Turn on the power of four. Available at a store near you. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7, 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Westbound 40 at Boone Bridge, road construction has everything jammed up down there. Center lane is closed to traffic and is backed up all the way to Boone's Crossing. No wide loads are allowed. They suggest you use Route 364 or 70 as alternates to get around that. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed through the end of the month due to maintenance work. Northbound 55 between Rivers Barracks and 44, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge, everything's running smoothly. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks all the way into Lindbergh, no problems there. Eastbound 40 between Clayton Larson and Hanley, look for heavy volume there. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley, look for a heavy volume as well. Northbound 270 at 44, that traffic is finally easing up. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, look for that traffic to be easing as well. Eastbound 70 at 94, there's road construction, right lane is closed. Westbound 70 at 94, road construction and left lane is closed. Westbound 5570 split at the Poplar Street Bridge, that traffic is finally easing up this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, look for no problems there. Northbound Spady at 40, there's an accident, the left lane is closed in both directions. Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravois, you can expect paving operations to cause a bit of a tie-up there as well. And in both directions, 255 at Camp Jackson over on the Illinois side, you can expect road construction there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground or the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Today, mostly sunny. Patchy fog still this morning with a high in the upper 70s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around 60. Wednesday, partly cloudy. Chance for showers both in the morning and the afternoon. The high should be in the mid-70s. Wednesday evening, cooler, mostly cloudy. Another chance for showers in the evening, then mostly clear after midnight with a low in the upper 50s. For Thursday, mostly sunny with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under overcast conditions, we have 61 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 58. Stand by for more of the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, tell my sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, tell my sister. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We will
believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal privilege.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. On the front page of papers all over the country this morning, if you can stand this, it was kind of galling to me. Some of you might be able to swallow this. George W. Bush is telling us that we need to conserve gasoline. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? We are being told to make sure that we bear in mind that oil is finite, that we shouldn't jackrabbit our vehicles at stop signs. We, the people, should attempt to carpool and engage in other efforts and actions to conserve fuel. This from a There Is No Global Warming administration. This from an administration that has reigned over, paved the path, and paved it with gold, greased the skids, and greased them with oil, of oil companies that have monopolies in this country, that have had profits in the tens of billions of dollars of profit, because they control a monopoly on the gasoline prices that we pay. This from an SUV driving, vacationing every 6 months administration, whose best friends are the oil industry, at the expense of us, they are looking us dead up in the face and saying, you know what, y'all need to conserve. Y'all tripping. And there are more policies that have been put in place that are, what's the word I'm looking for, counterintuitive, perhaps? Hypocritical, perhaps? Obscene, perhaps, pieces of legislation that not only do they not encourage people to conserve, quite the opposite. They encourage people to engage in the favorite pastime of this administration, and that is gluttony. Gluttony. Whose responsibility is it to decide how many gallons of gas? I got an SUV. I'm going to say it. Yeah, I have one. Whose responsibility is it to make it do more than the lousy? I'm not even going to tell you how bad the mileage is on my vehicle, because I'm ashamed. But whose responsibility is it to make my vehicle? They have the technology to make it do better than what it does. Whose responsibility is it to make them do that? We need to talk about this. We need to talk about talking out of both sides of the mouth, telling me to conserve and then putting out legislation that benefits those who do not conserve. We have this morning joining us, he's an individual who is a vehicle engineer for the Union of Concerned Scientists, joining us from Washington, D.C., Don McKenzie. Don, good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm not bad. Is it a bit contradictory to advocate, because on the front page of several papers I have in front of me, George Bush is telling us to conserve. Is it a bit contradictory given some of the policies that this administration has put in place?
Well, certainly there are a number of loopholes, and the administration recently had the opportunity to close one of the biggest ones, and that is the loophole that allows passenger vehicles like SUVs and minivans to be classified as non-passenger vehicles and held to a much lower fuel economy standard. They recently released a proposal that had the opportunity to fix this problem, but they really didn't seize the opportunity. The proposal that they've come up with is really going to do very little to save us any oil or help consumers save money at the pump.
What about the 8,500-pound loophole? What's that about?
That is a loophole that says that vehicles, the biggest vehicles on the road, biggest passenger vehicles on the road, things like the Hummer H2 and the Ford Excursion, they're excluded from any kind of fuel economy standards at all.
Huh?
Yeah, none whatsoever. And the manufacturers and the sellers of these vehicles don't even have to put labels on the windows to tell consumers what the fuel economy is going to be. So people go out and buy these and really have no idea what they're getting into.
And you don't want to put a sticker on a Humvee that says they get 9 miles a gallon.
Well, no, I think that you certainly wouldn't. And interestingly, the number one complaint from Hummer buyers was that the fuel economy was too low.
Now, as you're a vehicle engineer, you are with the Union of Concerned Scientists. Talk to us about the technology. Is the technology there to make a Hummer, you know, do a little bit better than 9 miles a gallon?
The technology is there to make a Hummer do better. The technology is there to make just about every car and truck on the road do a lot better. And in fact, if automakers put the technology to work that they have already developed and just sitting on the shelf, they could get the average vehicle fleet up to 40 miles per gallon over the next 10 years or so.
So let's go back to some of these loopholes, because we've talked about the non-passenger loophole, the 8,500-pound loophole. What is the dual-fuel loophole?
Well, the dual-fuel loophole is a little giveaway to automakers that has it amounts to about $1.6 billion in fines that automakers have avoided over the last few years. What it is a credit that automakers get. If they build a vehicle that's capable of running on either gasoline or an alternative fuel, they get about a 60% bonus credit on their fuel economy.
Wow.
But the truth is, these vehicles almost never use alternative fuel. Ethanol vehicles, for example, that can run on ethanol or gasoline, they generally use gasoline about 99% of the time. So automakers are getting credit. You know, if GM sells an 18-mile-per-gallon Tahoe that can get that can burn ethanol, they get credit for a 30-mile-per-gallon vehicle.
Wow. And that particular loophole was extended during as a result of the energy bill.
That's right. In the recent energy bill, that was extended. It was being phased out and set to go away in 2009. It was instead extended at least through 2010 and with the possibility of going through 2014.
The luxury SUV tax loophole.
Right. Right. This is in the tax code, and this allows small business owners who buy a large truck to claim a much, much larger deduction on their taxes than someone who buys a smaller truck or a car. So if someone wants to buy a car for their...
What's the definition of large?
Large is over 6,000 pounds gross vehicle weight. So that's things like a full-size pickup or a large van, but it also includes a lot of luxury SUVs, things like Saabs and BMW SUVs. A lot of these weigh in actually less than 100 pounds over that 6,000 pound limit. So the automakers, they know what they're doing, and they're getting these things in there so that someone who buys a $50,000 Lexus SUV, for example, can deduct $30,000 of that right away in the year that they buy it. But someone who goes out and buys, a Honda Accord sedan can only deduct $3,000.
Wow.
So it really drives people towards these bigger vehicles.
And it drives a certain class of people towards these bigger vehicles.
Right, the people who have that money to spend.
And that have small businesses.
Yeah.
The gas guzzler loophole.
Right. Well, for a number of years now, there have been gas guzzler taxes that are imposed on sort of the worst offenders, the cars that get the absolute lowest fuel economy. So if you buy a car that gets 5 miles per gallon below the fuel economy standard, you have to pay a gas guzzler tax. It's actually paid by the manufacturer. But trucks aren't held to any such gas guzzler tax. So it doesn't matter how inefficient a truck is, there's no gas guzzler tax on it. So this is just one more reason for automakers to get their vehicles classified as non-passenger vehicles or trucks. So it's a trend that you see, and that's not the only reason. As I said before, they're just held to a lower standard to begin with, and the result has been things like the Chrysler PT Cruiser, the Dodge Magnum, and the Subaru Outback, even the sedan version of the Subaru Outback. These are all classified as non-passenger vehicles.
And as a result of that, they don't have to pay that tax on them.
As a result of it, they're held to a lower standard, mm-hmm. and no, they're not subject to any tax.
And again, this is just legislation that could be changed by a movement of a pen on paper at any time Congress wants to do that.
Right. Some of these things, the definition loophole that allows passenger vehicles to be classified as non-passenger, that doesn't even need congressional action.
Mm.
The administration can fix that and had the chance to do it when they released a proposed rule a couple of weeks ago. But they didn't take that opportunity. And indeed, some of these other things, like also the 8,500-pound loophole, under the law, the administration is required to regulate fuel economy on vehicles from 8,500 to 10,000 pounds if doing so is feasible and would result in significant energy savings. And it meets both those tests, but nevertheless, the administration, and not just this administration, but previous administrations have failed to correctly make that move to regulate the fuel economy of those vehicles.
But I think that we can say as of today, September 2005, there are certain factors that are confronting this administration that previous recent administrations have not had to face. We've had actual gasoline shortages. We've had incredible, inexplicable spikes in gasoline prices. We have and they're saying that we're going to have unprecedented crises in heating oil costs come this winter. So we're facing some issues that other presidents have not had to face at this level. So to hear this administration say on the front page of today's paper that we need to be conserving gas, but to hear about these loopholes that exist and that could be changed with the stroke of his pen is kind of hard to take.
Right. Well, these loopholes are costing us more than 1 million barrels per day in increased oil consumption. That's about 1/8 of the total oil demand from our cars and light trucks. So that it's a pretty significant amount. And we do need to be smarter in how we use our gasoline. As individuals, you know, we can make sure that our cars are well maintained, our tires are inflated. There's actually a section on our website, ucsusa.org, with driving tips to help people get more miles per gallon out of their existing vehicle.
Well, give us a couple of those tips.
Well, as I said, keeping your vehicle properly maintained and keeping your tires inflated, driving responsibly. I think I heard you mention in the intro, avoiding jackrabbit starts. That'll help. Obeying speed limits. You lose about 17%. You get about 17% lower fuel economy going 70 miles per hour as opposed to 55. So there are all these things that you can do with your existing vehicle to help get more miles per gallon. And then thinking about combining trips and carpooling and looking for alternatives, public transport or walking, wherever that is appropriate. But the truth is that a lot of the time, that's just not practical for a lot of people.
Or a city that doesn't have a very good infrastructure for public transportation.
Right. So the most important thing that we can do is to increase fuel economy standards for cars and light trucks. And part of that is closing the loopholes, because you're not going to really get the full benefit of any increase in standards so long as you leave these gaping loopholes for automakers to exploit. But that is really the most important thing that we can do.
Get to a caller or two here. Caller, you have a question or comment for our guest, Don McKenzie.
Yes, good morning to you and your guest. I noticed that when I was going to school for auto mechanics, and my teacher used to tell me in carburation that there's always been a huge amount of carburetors and other items that could increase gas mileage, and that the auto industry and the oil industry, they do their best to subdue these things and keep them on the shelves for years, and they don't put them on their cars. And I've heard things where items were taken off of cars, and these items were put on cars by accident, and they were taken off the cars because people found that these things could increase their gas mileage. People were getting ridiculous gas mileage because these items were on their cars. Carburetors that people invented were like when they either died or the auto industry bought them out. Matter of fact, there was a guy here who invented a carburetor who would get a great deal of mileage to a gallon of gas, and he passed away, and somebody immediately, well, he was murdered, really, and somebody came in and bought it, and it's been on the shelf ever since.
And there are a lot of questions up in that question that you asked. So I'm going to let Don, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to let Don come back and answer some of those. Okay?
All right,
Don?
Yeah.
All right. Listen, this is Liz Brown. This is the Wake-Up Call. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this. We'll get to some more of your questions and your comments as we work through getting more efficient vehicles on the road. I'm with my guest, Don McKenzie, vehicle engineer for the Union of Concerned Scientists, joining us from Washington, D.C. Stay with us.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, program director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I have the knowledge, and most importantly, the discipline, to make conscious, healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
It'll be fun. It'll be cool. It'll be Sports Talk with Kevin Paulus, as close as your computer, at WGNU.net.
Don't miss a special edition of The Stranglehold this Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WGNU as we broadcast live from backstage at the TNA Impact tapings for Spike Television. We'll have the inside scoop on all the action, plus you never know who will be stopping by the mic. Monty Brown, Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, maybe even NWA champ Jeff Jarrett, and oh yes, Tracy Brooks will be on hand. Brought to you in part by Slackers, buy, sell, or trade, music, videos, or games, Slackers, CDs, and games. The Stranglehold live this Tuesday at 6 o'clock in Orlando from backstage at TNA.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement. Saturday, October 15th, 2005 in Washington, D.C. St. Louis, you can get involved today. The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
I wish I didn't get so weak. Oh, ooh, baby, just to hear you speak. Makes me argue just to see how much you're in love with me. Be like a queen upon her throne.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're talking about what can be done to make vehicles more energy efficient. I'm talking to Don McKenzie. He is a vehicle engineer for the Union of Concerned Scientists. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Don, on our way out, we had a caller ask a couple of good questions about could our vehicles really be far more efficient than what they are?
And, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, the caller raised a really important issue, and that's that the technology we need to increase the fuel economy of our cars and trucks is available, and it is sitting on automaker shelves right now. A lot of these technologies are deployed in small numbers of vehicles right now, but most vehicles don't have them. And what automakers need to do is step up and roll out these technologies onto every car and truck that they're selling. And by doing that, we could get from about 24 miles per gallon today to about 40 miles per gallon in 10 years' time. Now, there is no one single technology that is going to do this. This is a broad approach of improving engines, more efficient transmissions, and reducing the load of the vehicle. You know, better aerodynamics, better tires, and reducing weight safely by using high-strength, lightweight materials.
Now, in terms of making an auto dealer use the carburetor that gets 40 miles a gallon, 50 miles a gallon, how do we make them do that? Because it's not in their best interest to do that.
Well, the tool that we have used, that has been used, is these fuel economy standards that require automakers over all the cars or all the trucks that they sell to meet an average fuel economy. So some cars can be better, some cars can be worse, but they have to average out to meet this standard. And so what we need to do is for the government to step up and increase those standards to the level that is possible using existing technologies. But there is a real lack of leadership on this issue in Washington. No one wants to take on the auto industry and tell them that they have to step up and do this.
And the last time we told them, it was in the midst of a crisis similar to the one that feels like we're heading towards right now.
Right. The last time that standards were raised significantly was in the 1970s. And by increasing standards, the fuel economy of new vehicles roughly doubled between the mid-70s and the mid-1980s. But the fuel economy peaked in the late 80s and has been slipping downwards ever since, due especially to the shift to SUVs and minivans.
And no regulations on them.
Right. Well, there are some, but it's a much looser standard.
Right. Let me get to some of these other calls. Car phone. Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning.
You have a question for our guest, Don McKenzie.
Yes, I do. Speaking of alternative fuels, I was wondering why haven't they exploited propane more? Since it burns cleaner, your engines last longer, you have to have less oil changes, because a lot of people don't realize that your gas is what really dirties your oil and lessens the viscosity in the oil, which requires more oil changes. So, and they can use propane, and it works, and I wonder why they haven't.
Thanks for your call and question. Is there a reason for that, Don?
You know, if there is, I'm not totally sure of it, I have to admit. But the caller is right. The propane is an alternative fuel that we should be looking at using more. It's still a fossil fuel, and it still is dependent on global prices for energy. And so ultimately, even if we want to use an alternative fuel, be it propane or natural gas or ethanol, like I mentioned before, any of these things, whatever we do, we have to get more miles for out of every bit that we use, because we're still going to be paying more for propane in the future. We're still going as we're going to, if we pay more for oil, we're going to be paying more for propane, and so it's important to get more miles per gallon.
Well, all I know about propane I learned about on King of the Hill, so I don't know that much. Let me get to a car phone here. Car phone.
Hello?
Yes, you have a question for our guest, Don McKenzie.
I'd like to know what the benefit is to the government or to the auto industry in keeping these devices on the shelves away from, you know, the consumer.
The devices that would make cars 40 miles per gallon of gasoline, that type of a device.
Why are they doing it? I mean, are they getting kickbacks? What is that?
Well, the thing is, the auto industry has made a lot of investments in their plants, in their production lines, in equipment, in order to build the vehicles that they're building today. And from their perspective, they're just trying to squeeze every bit that they can out of investments that they've already made. And so they're trying to milk those investments for all that they can. But the problem is they're squeezing these pennies out of it, and they're coming ultimately out of your pocket and out of my pocket through higher you know, payments at the pump.
Well, isn't that kind of like, why would Pepsi keep a recipe, or, you know, if Pepsi was able to control the recipe for a better soda, it's to their advantage to keep that, to have ownership of that other recipe, and that way they can keep selling Pepsi and they don't have to change anything.
Right. They can keep selling the product that they're making.
And they don't have any competition, and they don't have to change.
I think that's really what it comes down to, is that the automakers are making a product, they're making money off of it, and they don't want to take what they see as a risk that's involved in investing in building more efficient automobiles.
Can you compare what it has gone on in the last 4 years with regard to addressing fuel efficiencies of cars to previous administrations? Are we doing something worse today than we've done before, or has this been a gradual decline?
No, this is a problem that goes back a lot farther than the present administration. Actually, under the Clinton administration, Congress froze funds for the administration to even consider looking at increasing fuel economy standards. So the administration's hands were tied somewhat. Congress has lifted that, and as a result, fuel economy standards for the non-passenger vehicles have gone up. They'll go up by about 1.5 miles per gallon starting this year and finally reaching 22.2 miles per gallon in 2007, but that's really not the kind of increase that is going to help us solve our dependence on oil. The proposal that they came out with recently will increase fuel economy even more slowly than that over 4 years through 2011. The case can be made. There's a very strong engineering case for increasing fuel economy of non-passenger vehicles about 2 to 3 times as fast as they've proposed.
And is there a correlation between, or are we seeing more oil-related money going to our legislators? Is it more than it has been in previous administration or other terms?
That I can't comment on. I can tell you where our money is going when we spend it on oil. It's going to other countries. We're spending approximately half a million dollars every minute we're sending out of the country just to buy foreign oil. So that's a major contributor to our trade deficit.
Let me get to some of our callers here. Ex-Peter, you have a question for our guest, Don McKenzie.
I wanted to make a comment on why they don't, you know, they had a caller call and ask what's the advantage of holding things on the shelf and not bringing them out. And the people who take advantage of this is the major top institutional holders of these companies. You'll find, for instance, like ExxonMobil, and you look at Ford, and you look at the top institutional holders of ExxonMobil and Ford, they're the same people. You got your Barclays, your State Street Corporation, your Vanguard Group, your Goldman Sachs. So if you're holding major shares in ExxonMobil, you're going to want your product to be in high demand. So if you're holding major shares in Ford Motor Company, you don't want them to produce an automobile that's going to get 3 times the gas mileage that they're getting now. That would mean you would lose that on in ExxonMobil. So
there you go.
That's where it's coming from. It's these major insiders that's holding the shares on these corporations, and you know they can't lose. They straddle the fence. Thank you.
Thanks for your observation, Don. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, I don't know what exactly. Who exactly owns what? That's not really my field of expertise, but I mean, suffice it to say that the auto companies don't really want fuel economy standards to be increased, and they have been very successful in pressuring Congress not to increase them. And if we're going to do anything, Congress really needs to step up and call for and pass some laws that are going to significantly reduce our dependence on oil.
Carphone, you have a question for our guest.
Yes, Liz, you speaking to me?
Yes, I am.
during the Carter administration, didn't Carter freeze the gas prices back when we were having those crises?
Thanks for your question. Do you remember that, Don?
No, I don't. I wasn't around for much of the Carter administration, I have to admit. But I don't know that that freezing gas prices is necessarily the best solution to these kind of problems. I think that it serves to provide us with a false sense of security. I think that what we've seen recently, it's put in very stark terms just how dependent we are on oil and how susceptible our transportation sector and really our economy and our day-to-day lives are to disruptions in supply. And I think that that's served to show, teach us a very important lesson that I think a lot of people are understanding, but unfortunately so far it doesn't look like anyone in Washington has gotten the message that we really need to take some action that is going to prevent this from happening in the future.
Don McKenzie, vehicle engineer for the Union of Concerned Scientists. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call. What's your website again?
It's UCSUSA.org.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz.
Take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
Hello.
The Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Baby steps. Baby steps.
Right.
Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I sucked a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Single game tickets on sale now at the box office, Ticketmaster outlets, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Baghdad. A report today from Iraq says the man second in command to insurgent leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi has been killed in a shootout in the capital city. Iraqi officials say Abu Azam died in a gun battle during a raid in the high-rise section of Baghdad yesterday. In other developments from Iraq, five civilians were hurt when a car bomb went off in central Baghdad. A police convoy taking prisoners to the Abu Ghraib jail was attacked, with two people killed and eight others wounded. And five men wanting to join the Baghdad Police Academy were killed when a suicide bomber walked up to the police station with a suicide belt in plain sight and then exploded his device. And Dateline Washington. President Bush plans to ask Congress to let the military take over most of the federal responsibility for providing help in times of natural disasters. This is a major change from working through the Department of Homeland Security. Defense Department officials are cool to the idea because they're sensitive to having the military take on a police presence on American soil. Plus, they're concerned about having enough troops for such a task due to the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. A White House spokesperson says the president is not suggesting the military take full control of disaster response, but rather provide social stability, search and rescue operations, and damage evaluation. The National Response Plan that was developed after the September 11th attacks allows the Defense Secretary to provide military support for disaster relief at the discretion of the president. Critics of the way the Hurricane Katrina aftermath relief efforts were handled say the president and state officials were just too slow to even call on the military to help. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. And stay tuned for today's solutions with David Lenihan from 4 to 6.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call. 382-2568.
What's up, St. Louis? This is George Cotton.
And I'm Syl Wilson.
And, of course, we're your host of The Real Deal with George and Syl.
The place where you end and start the week.
Well, now you can end and start your week on Tuesday. That's right, starting Tuesday, July 5th, you can catch The Real Deal on Tuesday nights from 10 p.m. to midnight. Join George and Syl for an informative and controversial talk show now on Tuesday nights from 10 to midnight here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Got something within me. Oh, 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 oh yes. So, something within me. Something within me. That vanishes pain. Something within me, Lord, that I can't explain. Oh, all I know, I thank my God, I've got something within me.
Oh, something within me. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU, 454-0400, revolution at lizbrown.com. And we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net from Xenia to Zimbabwe. Yeah, those are my digits. Get to me. We've seen so much PR, and we've seen so much evidence that things are back to normal at the White House. It's all about image and not about substance. It's all about damage control and controlling the press, controlling the message, controlling the body count, controlling what you see. Look over there. Don't look over here. And from the PR, from the spin, I mean, just listen, we're hearing reports from the media, and I'm talking about like just the news media, the television news media. Every day they give you an itinerary for George W. Bush. When was the last time you got an itinerary from George Bush? He's on vacation most of the time. Now we're hearing he's flitting here and he's flitting there, and this is his 7th visit and this is his 12th visit and this is his, he's engaged. See, he has to be engaged because I have the picture of him sitting down next to the governor. He must be engaged. Huh. Well, how'd that work out for us as a nation? This photo engagement of George W. Bush. How'd that work out for us? Well, in Beaumont, Texas, the federal officials told the officials there at Beaumont that we've learned our lessons from Katrina, and we're on the ball. According to the people that live in Beaumont, not the people that are in the photographs. talking about George Bush's picture of flying near Beaumont. We're talking about the people that live in Beaumont, Texas. They're saying that they're seeing the same foot-dragging response from the federal government that we saw in New Orleans and Mississippi and Alabama. Jefferson County Judge Carl Griffin pleaded with the federal government to get itself in a higher gear. He says he wants to return services to residents who remain, but it seems like they can't figure out how to get it done. Who's they? I guess that would be the guy that's in the airplane flitting from place to place trying to show I'm connected. I'm involved. I'm engaged. You have my attention now. To those poor, underprivileged people that are better off living in the dome, suffering from Hurricane Corinna. Whew. Telling folks not to use gas as he flits from. I mean, it's on the front page of the paper. It must be so. He's telling us as he drives his 17,000-pound SUV, 2-mile-per-hour vehicle from photo op to photo op, y'all need to conserve some gas. That's what he's saying to us. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? According to Jefferson County officials, those are the folks that are suffering from Hurricane Rita. By an administration that learned from Katrina. They said that they had a plan to distribute meals ready to eat from local fire stations. However, the MREs, that's what they're called, that's what the food's called, like the generators that Beaumont, Texas needs, they're being held back by FEMA. What the, huh? Yeah, folks. What you're getting now is a PR from this administration. According to the people that live there, they won't let us have them. They said we had to go through the state, which we already did to get them. I'm going over there now to figure this out. Looters have struck the town, but they have had to be let go because there's no place to jail them. Officials have asked FEMA to provide temporary jail quarters. How come we're not seeing the pictures of the looters in Boma? I wonder what that is. Wonder why that is. Oh, Lord. I guess I'm just going to have to walk home now that George Bush says that I need to conserve my gasoline. Tell you what, George. I'll walk when you walk. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much to talk about. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow to finish this conversation. Until then, stay strong.
That not everyone is sharing. WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. The former head of FEMA, Michael Brown, is testifying about the government's slow response to Hurricane Katrina.
I've overseen over 150 presidentially declared disasters. I know what I'm doing. And I think I do a pretty darn good job of it.
Most of the panel members are Republicans.